93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, March the 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a massive nor'easter is hitting the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. Rain has already arrived throughout today. The storm will deepen rapidly and briefly stall just south of Cape Cod. The storm will cause intense winds and massive waves across a large portion of the North Atlantic. A high wind warning is posted across our area for today and tomorrow. There's a coastal flood watch through Saturday as well. Bridges between the shore towns have already been closed. A flood watch for Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Lehigh Valley, and Camden County will remain in effect through today. There is a winter storm watch in the Poconos today, so that's good for us. So back home, if you're looking at rain, strong winds, and coastal flooding, rain will change to wet snow during the afternoon and evening. Rainfall back at home expected to be about a half of an inch to an inch of rain for some areas south of Philadelphia, and then an inch to 2 inches of rain north of Philadelphia, and a possible coating to 2 inches of wet snow.
I kid you not, I heard about 45,000 different weather forecasts yesterday. It kept changing, it seemed, by every 15 minutes about what was going to happen. But this morning here, because last night, it's very windy. I don't know if you can hear how windy it was.
Yeah, the winds are supposed to be pretty bad.
Yeah, but it seemed to be in a lull right now. It wasn't too bad when we came in.
I think whenever it's warmer and then, you know, we have a storm come through, like they can't quite predict it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a little bit, because I guess they don't know. I mean, the roads were fine. We saw like some steam coming through the roads yesterday.
Driving up, yeah, we both, Kathy and I, get to the Wawa at the same time, and as I'm driving into the lot, I'm seeing like steam come up from the parking lot, because I was walking around in a t-shirt yesterday for a little while.
Yeah, I know. Even when we got up here, like it was still, you know, still pretty warm, but it got cold throughout the night. So here in the Poconos and along the Pennsylvania-New York border, we're looking at somewhere between 4 to 12 inches of snow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Now they're saying it's going to be a wet snow, but still, 4 to 12 inches, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but that's expected. We're looking at some like rain and snow mixture, and then heading into the snow a little bit later this morning. A 10-year-old student has admitted to sending threatening emails to teachers and principals that caused the closure of 3 Gloucester County school districts on Thursday, police say. Remember, we had this story.
So it was a little kid that was doing it.
It was a 10-year-old.
Wow.
According to authorities, the Franklin Township School District student made threats saying there would be a shooting today and tomorrow at 2 different schools. He's being charged with making terroristic threats and causing false public alarm.
That little rugrat.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
Police say they are seeking psychological help for the boy, and he will then be released to his parents. Authorities received a call at 1:30 in the morning from a Ritter Caroline Rutter school teacher about an email threatening a shooting at the school on Thursday. They say the child must have been up around 1 a.m. making those threats. Police contacted administration for Franklin Township School District and nearby Delsey Regional School District. We determined the best action to take would be to cancel school for the day until we determine who the threat was made by and the legitimacy of the threat.
Said 10 Franklin, years old.
Yeah, the Franklin Township Police Lieutenant.
My son is 10.
Yeah.
And I just hear this, I go, that little you. Yeah.
But I mean, like, the fact that they got him now.
Like, you little, oh my. Well,
but would you imagine your, I mean, I know your son would never do something like that, but like.
No, but like.
I would think a 10-year-old, like, can't do that.
No, a terrible 10-year-old can.
Can, yeah, I
and
know.
I'm like, I know he's just a kid, but he knows better. He knows better.
Elk Township schools also canceled classes because it shares buses with the district. Approximately 4,000 students were impacted. While the investigation was ongoing, police said the person continued to send emails. So even though they had closed schools and they were trying to track down this kid, he kept sending more emails. Mm-hmm. The principal at Main Road School received an email about a shooting threatening for Friday. Emails were also sent to the superintendent and other teachers in the district.
It's kind of a savvy 10-year-old that can send threatening.
Well, he's also
he's sending them.
Yeah, he's an idiot too.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, he's a bad kid and he's an idiot.
Oh, completely. Yeah, there's no question about that. But I mean, the whole concept of a 10-year-old, I was worried about getting a Nerf ball when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, right? Things are different than I mean, but like, you know, when did your daughter Preston find out about that? What happened in Florida yet? Or
oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because my son found out from other classmates, and his reaction was the complete opposite. He was like sad and scared, and then
well, sure, of course,
not sending threatening emails.
Not threatening, yeah.
Subpoenas were sent out to the email provider and phone companies. Police were able to track down the suspect to a Franklinville address. Authorities went to that residence and took the 10-year-old into custody. He admitted to making the threats towards the school when police got to him.
Jeez.
A deputy was driving through a remote area of Joshua Tree when he made a startling discovery. Three children on a property littered with mounds of trash and several holes filled with feces. Authorities found that the siblings, ages 11, 13, and 14, have been living on the property with their parents for 4 years in a makeshift plywood shelter, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department said. There was no electricity or running water, no bathrooms or heating. Between 30 and 40 cats roamed the area of the, on the property. On Wednesday, the children's parents, 51-year-old Mona Kirk and 73-year-old Daniel Panico, were arrested on suspicion of willful cruelty to a child, the sheriff's department said. Authorities initially reported the children were living in a box, but later clarified that the children were not being held captive. They were homeless. The police said that it was a shelter, basically, what was set up. Authorities released photos of the property that show a structure authorities described as 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, and 4 feet high. A plastic tarp appeared to be draped over the roof, taped onto a wall of plywood. Toys and bicycles, along with furniture, containers, and other debris, were thrown across the dirt. This time of year, it's very cold at night. A spokeswoman for the sheriff's department said, when that wind blows, it's freezing. The kids were living in a shelter made of wood and a tarp, and it's 20 to 30 degrees.
I think we need to require that you do at least one pleasant story. These are so freaking sad.
The sheriff's department said the children did not have enough food and were living in unsustainable and unsafe environment. However, they did say that they didn't seem to be malnourished. The children are not enrolled in public schools, and it's unclear whether they were being homeschooled. Officials.
Joshua Tree State Park?
National Park.
National Park. Yeah.
It's right outside the park. It's a funny part of California. I mean, it's really, in a lot of areas, it's really impoverished, and drifters end up spending a lot of time there.
Right.
You know, and so this story, while awful, is not that surprising.
Yeah, they said it's kind of a remote area, and the sheriff just happened to be in that area. I mean, they had been there for four years before they even knew they were living there. Wow. Officials with the county's Children and Family Services took custody of the three children. Both parents are being held on $100,000 bail.
They're saying in California, it's a big issue there. They literally have like these shanty towns that are you drive for blocks and blocks and blocks through makeshift towns where homeless people are. I was looking at the amount of money, and I forget exactly what the exact amount was, for the removal of feces off the streets in California last year. Just crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Joel Embiid has 17 points and 14 rebounds, and the Sixers beat LeBron James and the Cavaliers 108-97 last night in Cleveland to end an 11-game losing streak against the Cavs.
Nice.
Rookie Ben Simmons added 18 for the Sixers, who are 8-2 since February 6th. They're back home tonight with a game against the Charlotte Hornets, and tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Justin Williams scored 2 goals. Cam Ward stopped 21 shots, and the Carolina Hurricanes ended a 6-game losing streak with a 4-1 win over the Flyers last night in South Philly. The Flyers had won 6 straight overall and were 10-0-2 since the beginning of February for their longest span without a regulation loss since 2003. They are 4-0-1 against the Hurricanes in their last 5 against them at home, but goalie Peter Mrazek had his worst outing since he was acquired 2 weeks ago, giving up 4 goals on 35 shots. Up next for the Flyers is a weekend trip to Florida. They'll play the Lightning in Tampa Bay on Saturday and will be in South Florida to play the Panthers on Sunday. At spring training, Phillies right-hander Nick Pivetta allowed 1 hit, 1 run, and 3 walks while striking out 2 in 1 2/3 innings yesterday afternoon in a 6-4 loss to the Yankees. Odubel Herrera will be starting in center field for the Phillies this afternoon's game against the Rays in Port Charlotte, Florida. Right-hander Aaron Nola is scheduled to start. Game time is at 1:05. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Yes.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy, as we are sitting here in our perch at the E2000 Lounge. We're starting to see a little bit of daybreak outdoors. I can't really tell from looking out the window as of yet, but when I came in this morning, we were getting some fresh powder pack powder. So, yeah, it was snowing. It had gone from rain snow to just snow.
Just snow.
And then later on be snow wind. Which is going
to
be happening.
Did you check out the site as we were pulling it off to the right there? The tent and everything set up on the...
I took a quick glance at it. Yeah.
It looks good. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, so it's on, man. It's happening. We've got the weather on our side now, and we should have a good time. Our main concern was the rain.
Yes.
Was to have people, as they assembled their vehicles this morning, and have them out in the rain. rain, and it looks like that's not going to happen.
And it was raining yesterday like crazy.
Yep, it was just a pretty steady, nonstop rain as we were all on our way up here last night. So we've made it. Our engineering crew and promotion staff getting stuff in place. The broadcast obviously set up and ready to go, and everything out on the mountain. So now we just wait for the arrival of the participants and the spectators and all its glory of the Cardboard Classic. And we'll try to get that started as close to 10 o'clock as we can this morning.
I heard what I believe to were probably either some participants whooping it up last night at around 12:30.
You heard something?
Yeah.
Nice.
But that's okay.
Oh, of course. It's mandatory for people to come out here to party a little bit. That's what it's all about. So Cardboard Classic sponsors, by the way, Jack Frost, obviously, Victory Brewing Company. And we are also, they're going to send down the honorary first sleds from what I understand. So we'll see how that goes. Aviation Institute of Maintenance is one of our sponsors. Course Photography. J.P. Mascaro and Sons, who's going to take everything away when we're done with it at the end of the day. So everybody's got some stuff to do today. We do have some guests on the program. We wanted to schedule ahead of time, just in case we did have some weather issues this morning. David Murphy, 6 ABC. So we're going to do a check-in with him and see what the weather, what all is entailed with the weather here in the Poconos and back home as well. We're also going to talk to Rob Schneider. Rob is going to be on the show, and he's got an event this weekend at the Sellersville Theater. So we'll talk to Rob, see how he's doing. And Mr. Skin.
The perennial.
The 19th Anatomy Awards are taking place, so obviously we need to see what he has in store for that.
What's the new category, Casey, you were mentioning yesterday?
Oh, Marty Feldman nips. Marty Feldman nips.
All right.
Those are nipples that go off askew.
I would imagine in different directions, yes. And we will be checking the weather model throughout the morning. That's one of our Totally Office Calendar girls, Melissa Kai, is going to be here. She's our weather model.
Listen, we do it right.
Yeah, we do. So we'll keep an eye on the weather for you, and we'll go through the regular paces as well. So let's take a break, come back in a second. Stupid question, entertainment news. The Cardboard Classic is happening, dear friend.
Yeah!
Jack Frost will be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast and hosting our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. It's this Friday, JFBB, where the snow comes first. Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna try and go straight to a phone call.
Oh,
I don't know if the phones will work. It's always a a bit of a mystery. We do a live broadcast when we first try this. But Rodney, I'm gonna try a phone call, and Jason back at the station. I'm gonna try this because I've got to go to this guy on line one. Hey, Mike, are you there? Mike, can you hear me? I guess not.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
What was he gonna say?
He was gonna say that he has a 15-foot-tall bird bot sled.
No. Oh, my God.
Traveling up the turnpike.
Oh, please make it.
So, yes,
please
I know.
Please make it.
Please
make it.
Right now.
I didn't even think. Okay, Ronnie says I can try it now.
All right,
try
it again.
Let me go to him again. Hey, Mike, are you there? Can you hear me this time?
What's the word?
Hey! Nice. All right, so you're on your way up here right now?
Yeah.
All right, where are you at this point?
Just before the tunnel.
Just before the tunnel. And right. what are you bringing with you?
Oh, we got two trailers. We got the base that's pretty much a sponge right now. all the tarps look like shredded cheese.
Okay, so you're saying the weather is having a negative impact on your concoction.
Yeah, it'll be quite interesting.
All right, well, we'll just make it up here. It doesn't matter. We're laughing at the weather.
How are the roads? Are they slippery?
No, there's snow at all yet.
Okay.
All rain.
Well, there's one thing about being up here is that they deal with this all the time, so they know how to get the roads, you know, 100%. So that's cool.
Yeah, maybe after you get through the tunnel, Mike, you start hitting the snow. So I'm just happy that BirdBot is going to be represented on the Hill today.
Sure, or ShredBot, whatever it is.
All right, good luck to you, man. We'll see you in a bit, okay?
All right, thanks, bro.
All right, later on. There you
go. Make sure you hold your breath through the tunnel.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
Every single time.
No, you close your eyes.
I close my eyes, I hold my breath, and I drive through it in reverse.
Yes.
Exactly. Although, I tell you what, going through the tunnel last night,
yep.
I thought about that trucker man.
I did, too. There was a guy that was impaled by a piece of machinery that fell from the ground or fell from the top of the tunnel and killed him. So I was thinking about that, too. All right, anyhow, happier things. Let's do a stupid question. Casey, I don't have my list of prizes. I have no idea what I'm going to give away.
How about you make up the prize?
Let's see if we can remember.
I think is it boat show tickets?
No, boat show is Lesson Learned.
All right.
The other one, it is, you do your question.
Okay, I'll ask the question.
I promise I'll have it for you.
And it'll be mystery prize for you if you're calling in and you know the answer to this. But we wanted to do a skiing or snowboarding question, and I do indeed have one.
It is boat show. I'm such an a-hole.
It's boat Philadelphia boat show, right?
It is the...
Or is it Atlantic City Boat
Greater Show? Philadelphia Boat Show.
Boat Show.
Yeah. Excellent.
All right, so here is your question. In 2014, Shaun White went to a Montgomery County High School prom. What high school was it?
Ah.
215-263-WMMR, and I have the whole story here. It was a really cool thing that happened. So in 2014, Shaun White, a gold medal winning snowboarder, went to a Montgomery County High School prom. What school was that? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. And I'll go through some birthdays today, being March 2nd. It is Chris Martin of Coldplay's birthday today. Chris Martin is 41 years old.
Have a bit of a newfound respect for Chris Martin. He did a very funny episode of Modern Family. I think you and I were watching it at the same time, Preston.
Yeah, he was very funny. He was really good. And he, who's he with now?
He is with,
Oh, and I don't approve. She's not.
No, it's actually good.
No, it's Dakota, Johnson.
I do approve of that. I'm totally down with that.
Yeah, you don't approve? Why not?
Nah, she's not here yet. You know, she's still.
Oh, she's right where she needs to be.
Is she where she needs to be?
I don't know. I find her very sexy and funny. She's very cute. She's self-deprecating. I think she's perfect for him until, of course, he gets back with
Gwyneth Paltrow. He's going with Gwyneth,
which will happen.
So I met him on the second floor of Y100 Media. It was him and the rest of the band.
Was this when Yellow had just come out?
Yellow had just come out, and I really didn't care. That album's called Parachutes. I didn't really care for it when I first listened to it, and then I listened to it a second time, and I was in like some sort of a mood, and it was perfect for that mood. But I wanted to have them autograph something, but I didn't have anything, so I gave them like
your samurai sword.
Randy Jackson.
Right next to Randy Jackson is where he's.
No, I gave him the jewel case for a CD. You know, so they autographed the plastic of a CD case.
Yeah.
And I still have it. I still have it somewhere locked away in my basement.
All right. Okay. That's Casey's Chris Martin story.
If you don't turn that into a script.
He's 41.
All right, this is how it's going to be today, huh?
I don't know.
I think it's a great story, but I think you need the right people, and I'm seeing.
Well, no, I mean, I was going somewhere, and then the samurai sword came in, and you know, sort of
took the air out of it.
Took me off my center.
Honestly, I think you're off to a bad start because the parking lot attendant called you a jerk.
He did call me a jerk.
What?
Because he waved me to turn into the parking lot,
and then I'm behind Casey,
and then he's behind me. But apparently, he was waving me to stop, and I didn't stop.
Yes. So I stop. I roll my window down, and the guy says, "Hey, tell that jerk in front of you to stop next time."
Right, but like he's moving his stupid flashlight like this. Like, oh, okay, I'll just move that way.
You know what? He did the same thing to me, but
he's one of these straight up talkers.
No, he was listen, and he was so nice to me.
He was nice to me too. I stopped and talked to him.
Yeah, he stopped. He's trying to.
I didn't have time for that jerk.
I said, "Do me a favor. There's going to be a dude coming through in about a half hour with an O'Hara jersey on. Give him crap."
Listen, that dude was probably out there at like 4:30.
I know,
in the
man.
Snow.
I feel bad, but I misinterpreted
his listening.
No, I think he's great. He's probably fine.
Why don't you tell me your Chris Martin story?
I misinterpreted his hand motions.
That's how it's going to be.
It looked like he was, you know, waving me to go that. Okay. And
I'm sorry, I took a bullet in the war. Yeah.
whatever.
Sorry, I gave you your freedom, Brick.
Okay, Chris Martin's 41. John Bon Jovi celebrates his 56th birthday today. He, of course, will be a part of MMR's 50th celebration, 50th birthday celebration, which is cool. We're excited about that.
The story Pierre tells about him coming to the station for the first time and just sort of begging Pierre to come down and check him out at a local club.
Yes. Yeah, Pierre had him sign a cassette casing.
Yes, because he left his samurai sword.
It was a great story.
Because Pierre had his Grateful Dead samurai sword in the car.
Man, I had a story. I'm not even going to chime in.
Thank God. Right, good. Thank
I got to move along.
Yes, right, please. Come on, for Christ's sake.
We've already quarter to seven.
Come on, race to get to.
All right, so Daniel.
We're not even through birthdays yet.
Daniel Craig is 50 today.
Love him.
The actor. Yep, he's fantastic. Lorraine Newman, one of the original Not Ready for Primetime players.
And another former Bond.
Saturday Night Live. Lorraine Newman?
Just kidding.
No, all right, 66. Then you have Gates McFadden, who is Commander Crusher
Redhead,
on Star Trek The Next Generation.
You had to dig her, right?
Absolutely. She's 69 today. Then you have Mikhail Gorbachev, former head of the Soviet Union.
Still alive?
You know, Leslie Nielsen rubbed that stain off his head.
Yeah.
Totally fake.
I think he lives in Vermont, doesn't he?
Gorbachev?
Yeah, I think so. I think he moved to the States.
No kidding.
Yeah, he opened up a laser tag place.
Yeah. Well, there was no competition in Vermont.
Yeah, that's it. He was not going to go up against Harper Lee, because that's a huge one.
Yeah, but Mikhail Gorbachev.
Just the concept of people, I love it.
He's cornered the Vermont market.
He's 87. And then the last birthday I saw is the lovely Bryce Dallas Howard. She's 37, and they're currently running promos for the next Jurassic Park.
Yeah. They gave her crap in the first one for running around in heels. I've seen women run around in heels. It can be done.
It can be done, yes. So happy birthday to her, 37. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. In 2014, Shaun White went to a Montgomery County High School prom. What school was that? And I am going to see if we can get an answer from Kelly, if we can hear her. Hey, Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Kelly, so let's see if you know the answer. In 2014, Shaun White went to a Montgomery County High School prom. What school did that take place?
Mount St. James.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. Hang on just a second, Kelly.
Well said.
Yeah, did you say it that way on purpose?
Yes, of course, Delco all day.
St. James. All right, hang on a second because we are going to give you tickets to the boat show. Four bag of tickets to Greater Philadelphia Boat Show, and you can find your summer fling at the Greater Philadelphia Boat Show. March 9th through the 11th, the Expo Center in Oaks. Details at phillyboatshow.com. Yeah, apparently this girl, her name was Carly Monzo. She had heard that Shaun White didn't go to his own high school prom, so she made a video and invited him to the prom.
That's awesome.
Not only did he go to the prom, but his band played at the prom as well. And it was a really cool thing.
He signed her a CD case for her.
Yeah, that's right.
What a great guy.
That doesn't really happen as much anymore.
No.
Remember for a while there were all kinds of invites for celebrities to go to proms and
some would.
Some would. Mm-hmm. But I think it started happening too much and people started bailing on it. But
that's the problem when you start to do stuff like that. You get inundated and then people say, he didn't come to mind. He's a dick. A
couple of years, I think it'll come back around, so we'll see. All right, hey, police were called to Tori Spelling's home on Thursday after a 911 caller claimed that she was having a nervous breakdown. She didn't have a weapon, but reportedly behaved aggressively before police arrived.
Really?
Yeah, sources tell TMZ that Spelling called 911 herself, though, on Wednesday, the day before, to report a break-in, but that turned out to be just be her husband, Dylan McDermott. An audio.
He's arrested for loitering.
Of Thursday's call obtained by the Blast, Spelling was described as a female with possible mental illness. Police reportedly took a domestic violence incident report, and TMZ photographed McDermott chatting with police outside their home.
Wait, no, her husband's not Dylan McDermott.
No, Dean McDermott.
Oh, it says Dylan McDermott.
Does it?
They're wrong.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's Dean McDermott.
Again.
Who's Dylan McDermott?
An actor who is an upright stand-up guy.
And who's Dean McDermott?
He is a loser.
Okay.
Her husband. But Dylan McDermott is an actor that you know, Preston. He was in he's in that L.A. to Vegas flight movie or TV show now, and he was in the movie with Clint Eastwood about the president where they tried to kill him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Steel Magnolias.
He's not Dermot Mulroney.
Not Steel Magnolias.
He wasn't Steel Magnolias.
Oh, I thought you said the Clint Eastwood movie was Steel Magnolias.
I gotta get my hair did.
It was in The Line of Fire.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to take that advice, Miss Missy.
But you're right. He was in that movie, too. But we're not talking.
No, we're not talking about that.
Talking about Dean McDermott. The police officers left in the afternoon on Thursday, and Spelling was not arrested and did not meet the criteria for a mental evaluation.
They said she was fine and running around in the yard later on.
She and McDermott welcomed their fifth child together last March. She has suffered several they have suffered several financial scandals in the past few years. But just before she was placed to call on Wednesday, she was hanging out with Bachelor alum Corinne Olympios, who shared a video of their time together on her Instagram story. She tells Entertainment Tonight that they were filming a Facebook digital cooking show, Secrets in the Thoth, and that Spelling seemed distant and a little tired.
Uh-oh.
She said, I was saying...
Get out of my house!
Said, I was... Dear God, that was loud. She said, I was thinking...
Get out of my house! Are you okay, Tori? I'm not okay! I'm married to Dean Mulrooney. Dylan McDaggett. I don't know!
Dermot Mulroney.
I don't know my husband's name in all these 5 years together. I have no idea what his name is. I think it's Diblett McJuby. I don't know.
Dean McDaggett.
Dean McDaggett?
She said I was thinking.
She's to the end of a rope.
Tina Babelina. She said, I was thinking, well, she does have five kids. She was saying it's stressful. It's a lot. Someone was joking around with her, like, don't go home yet. Say you're getting a manicure. And she was like, oh, my God, yeah, right. What the hell does that mean?
That is the biggest bunch of gibberish.
Okay.
All right. The 90th annual Oscars are on Sunday. And after last year's infamous envelope fiasco, where La La Land was temporarily the best picture winner until everyone figured out it was actually Moonlight, the spotlight is brighter than ever this year on keeping an eye on making sure the things go smoothly.
Yeah, that dude, though he wasn't fired from a Price Waterhouse, the guy who was the card guy, he will not be the one handing them out this year.
The guy who looks like Matt Damon?
The guy who looks like Matt Damon, yeah.
The red carpet coverage kicks off 6:30 p.m. Eastern time this award season in the midst of the Time's Up and Me Too movement. It has been increasingly political, many celebrities speaking out on the red carpet. One of the red carpet hosts, Ryan Seacrest, for E!, has also recently been accused of sexual misconduct, claims that he denies, which is one of the red carpet, which is reportedly creating some behind-the-scenes drama with publicists and celebs being unsure whether they would grant him an interview or not.
I was reading about this, so some of the people are very much supportive of Ryan Seacrest, mm-hmm. and if someone's bringing... Somebody who has been very vocal about the Me Too movement, they're probably going to just avoid Ryan Seacrest.
Probably.
Which I guess is understandable.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, it puts somebody who is very involved in that movement in an awkward situation.
Position, yeah.
Because, listen, the guy hasn't been proven guilty. But then again, on the off chance that he may have done this type of stuff, if you look back in hindsight and it is proved and you had this chit-chat with him, it could be awkward. So I can understand why people might want to avoid
it. I have to say, Seacrest seems to be, you know, the more and more you read about this story, it seems to be legit that he's that there was a little bit of extortion involved with this thing. But you never know.
You never know. So there are 9 films in the running for Best Picture. Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro's fantasy drama, leads the pack with 13 nominations. Dunkirk is second with 8. And by the way, I think this is cool. A little factoid of interest. Logan, a movie that we all loved, Hugh Jackman's final Wolverine film, became the first superhero film to be adapted for Best Adapted Screenplay.
That's very cool.
I think that's great. So that's a more legit category than, you know, sound editing and stuff like that.
No, that's awesome. Did you see that guy who does the, I guess he sort of does fake movie posters. He's constantly needling the celebrities. He did, there were these large billboards around L.A. that say, and the winner for best pedophile is, like a whole bunch of them.
Whoa.
Like he just rails on him.
Okay.
I guess he's the billboard and sign equivalent of a troll.
Okay. With Warner Brothers moving up the release date, production looks to be ramping up on the Wonder Woman sequel. And Warner Brothers seems to have its sights set on an A-lister for the villain role of Cheetah.
I love this.
And it's they're saying that it could be Kristen Wiig. How cool is that?
I think that's a good choice.
I think she's great. She's really versatile. She not only does the comedy awesome, but she's done some straight-ahead dramatic roles, and she can pull it off. And I just like her as a person.
I'm vaguely familiar with Cheetah.
I don't know.
I don't know if she is. Yeah. We assume at least she's in some way the equal of Wonder Woman, right?
I Yeah, I don't really know.
Or is it cheetah as in the animal or like cheating at cards?
I would imagine cheetah as in the animal. Very fast.
Yes.
Wait
a second. There was an ace up her sleeve.
Warner Brothers had no comment. Variety first reported that Patty Jenkins would be returning to write, direct, and produce the pick after landing a new contract in the high eight figures range. Following the news that the studio has slated the movie for November 1st, 2019, finding this key role became a top priority. Insiders indicate that Wig was always high on Jenkins on the list for the part and had let Wig know about her interest before Jenkins left to scout the location for the project.
Yeah, I think she's done some she's done some dramatic stuff.
Yeah,
right?
she was in The Martian, which was a pretty straight role, and apparently she's in an upcoming film called Where'd You Go, Bernadette, which I think is not a comedy. But Wonder Woman 2 would mark her first role in the comic book realm. So
what is next, though? After Justice League, what is next?
Is it Ant-Man?
No. I mean, in the DC world.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. As far as like a big storyline goes, no.
Are they going to do Flash, Cyborg?
Yeah, they got to do those two for sure.
And I think right now, perhaps the Black Panther success might accelerate the Cyborg story.
Okay,
because he's a black superhero as well.
Okay. But either one of those, I'd be interested in seeing a standalone movie on those. But Wonder Woman, they've got a bona fide hit with. So
and Justice League is out on Blu-ray, right?
I don't know.
Is it today?
1 month after giving birth to Stormy Webster, the 20-year-old Kylie Jenner is ready to post pics of herself in her skivvies, and she captioned a video of herself in a black crop top. Black crop top and underwear.
Where's my crap top?
Giving a glimpse of her eerily flat stomach in it as she posted, she captioned it, 1 month.
All those THs?
Yeah, with a bunch of H's.
Okay.
I hate when people do that.
I know. Wait,
do it again and see if I can guess how many
actually,
H's are
in it. It would be pronounced 1 month. Because it's all H's. Do it again in what?
And see how many, if I can guess how many H's is actually in there.
All right. 1 month.
Sounds like six H's. What do you guys think?
I'm counting them.
Okay.
Give him a break. He's counting.
Yeah. Come on.
Sorry.
Get off my back.
You came up with this idea.
And I skipped my Bon Jovi story.
It probably wasn't that great.
you had a Bon Jovi story in the news?
No.
During the birthdays.
Today's Bon Jovi's birthday.
This is his birthday. He's 56. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not spending more time on this. There's nine H's.
Nine H's.
You were wrong.
Santa's got to go.
Yeah, Santa's got to go. Another video showed her brushing her hair in front of a mirror.
Ooh.
Jenner posted a photo on Instagram as well, capturing a shot of herself holding Stormy and staring confidently into the camera. Her boyfriend, Travis Scott, also posted a video, this time on Snapchat, celebrating 1 month with his baby girl, too.
Enough with this.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. A day after Jennifer Aniston was spotted out and about, smiling happy, sans wedding ring, Justin Theroux was photographed without his.
Ooh.
Dude, that's what you do when you break up and get
you mean
a
when you get married, you take your wedding rings off and you don't keep calling the person your wife or your husband?
Yeah, that's what happens when you get a divorce.
Oh.
Yes, and people are just realizing.
And then you don't live together and you separate your finances again?
The leftover star was spotted in New York City looking somber in sunglasses.
I don't like this.
And an army jacket.
I'm wearing an army jacket.
And he took off his wedding ring.
I don't have my wedding ring.
So, that's
well, you know, his love of New York City is supposedly what.
Yeah.
Precipitated the split.
That's what the neighbor said.
Yeah, the guy who had water damages.
Yep. American Chopper star Paul Tuttle has filed for Chapter 12 bankruptcy. Court papers obtained by Page Six claim that he owes 50 creditors $1,070,893.44.
Wow.
And that he is worth $1,801,729 as of February 28th. He recently put his home in Montgomery, New York on the market and is now in foreclosure. The show's revival returned Thursday on the Discovery Channel, so they're bringing that back around.
Did you watch that show?
I did.
I liked that show.
It was really good. But those two, the Tuttles, just hate each other.
Despise each other.
Oh, man. Father and son. I feel bad for them.
Yes. You know? Yeah. Because they both done some really good stuff.
Yeah.
There is a show that I saw a trailer for last night, or a teaser, or whatever the hell you want to call it, a commercial. I don't know if it's been on or if it's in its 10th season or whatever. But it's a show, a reality show, where they replicate movie weapons. Ooh. Yes. So they were doing Bond car stuff.
I love movie
weapons. Oh, it's awesome.
I knew you collect the action figures.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking about collecting movie weapons. You know, I have my my Harley Quinn bat.
Yes, you do.
And I have
Lord of the Rings stuff.
The Lord of the Rings Narsil, the blade that cut the ring. And I was thinking about buying a few. I got some other stuff.
Why not?
I like the weapons.
Get something from Steel Magnolias.
I have a Hattori Hanzo sword as well.
Yes.
I do. And I got it signed by Randy Jackson, which is
a lot of sword references this show.
Yes. All right. So I have a question, Casey, and this is a programming question. We're going to have David Murphy on at 7:10. Should we wrap this up now and come back and have him on, or should we try to stretch this and have him on?
You know what?
We're in Appaloosa, Preston.
We are in Appaloosa. let's do clips here and then wrap it up and then move on.
I agree. Let's do that because we are in we got a time crunch here because we got an event to get to. We're kind of doing on time, so we're going to do the clips. ABC's fantasy drama. I got to turn that down. Hang on a second here.
My ear.
Is that on your instant replay, Casey?
It's on my instant replay.
Oh, there it is. Okay. All right, so ABC fantasy drama Once Upon a Time returns tonight with episode 11 titled Secret Garden, in which two main characters must make a deal with the witch, Mother Gothel. In this clip, actor Lana Parrilla brings light to the seventh and final season.
You know, no one cares.
Hit it.
We're in Hyperion Heights, which takes place in Seattle, and it's a very different world, and everyone's very different.
Oh, that's it.
Wow, are you kidding me? Actual setup for the clip was longer than the clip.
Once Upon a Time returns tonight, 8:00 on ABC. Here's an.
That show started great. And then it just went off the rails.
That's like really overmodulated, just to let you know my headphones. In the new action film Death Wish, Bruce Willis stars as a Chicago doctor who becomes a vigilante after his wife is murdered and his daughter is brutally attacked. Here, director Eli Roth addresses the backlash from the film's trailer. Hit it.
When people see the movie in context, I think this is all going to evaporate. People are judging it on the trailer. Everyone is very sensitive. Everyone is ready to take a stance against something.
Death Wish premieres in theaters tonight.
You go to Jeff Conaway when you're in doubt.
Bah! All right, that's what I have for you in this morning's entertainment report. I would like to go ahead and take a break now. Yes, because we're going to come back. We're going to talk to our buddy David Murphy over at 6 ABC. Get an official weather forecast. We know things are actually looking good for what we are going to achieve here today. A few other guests on the program, too. So we'll come back in a second. Cardboard Classic, Day Off on the Slopes, Jack Frost, it's happening. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Thank you, Kathy. Obviously, leading up to this event, one of our big concerns was the weather, because initially, about a week ago or so, we were looking at the longer range forecast, and it was looking like rain was going to be the issue.
And rain is the big killer. Snow is fine, but the rain is what makes it. And we've been lucky for those 13 years.
Yes.
We haven't had it.
When you have cardboard,
yeah,
you don't want rain.
Really is contrary to structural integrity.
And so we thought we would have somebody on standby ready to go to give us some official info, because we had thought about canceling the event if the rain was going to be an issue. But everybody said, nope, it's a go no matter what. So let's get official weather information from the man we always turn to for such things. Ladies and gentlemen, David Murphy from 6 ABC.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you up there in the snowy Poconos this morning?
Sir, we are doing wonderful, and it is that very thing. It is snowing as we speak. So we're thankful for that. But this, as we were going through the week, looking at the forecast, it started looking a little more and more favorable. And now, halfway decent amount of snow coming into the Poconos, right?
The higher elevations, like the higher you go up on the mountains, the better you're going to get in terms of accumulating snow. And I think a good thing for folks traveling up there is that down all the way up to probably past the Lehigh Valley, maybe even up to the Lehigh Tunnel, you're probably looking at mainly wet roads. Now, as you get a little farther north past Allentown, and especially if you're coming up through Bethlehem and through Northampton County, you're liable to run into some slushy roads. But the valleys are probably only going to get about 2 to 4 inches, and I would think that if you're on main roads, you're probably in pretty good shape up there. You're going to have to be cautious. It's when you get up into the upper elevations that you're going to start to get the higher amounts. And I could see anywhere from, you know, 6 to 12 inches. Wow. It's going to be wet snow. I don't know if cardboard likes wet snow any more than
it likes it better than rain. So that's, that's definitely, you know, going in the right direction. What's the wind going to be like up here?
Winds are going to be an issue. I could see the winds gusting up into the Poconos, you know, maybe 30 to 40 miles per hour. The farther you go toward the shore, of course, we're looking at even bigger issues with the winds. Let me just check one thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Am I hearing – so there are two questions I have. One, so up here you're saying some people are obviously going to stay the whole weekend and some are going to cut out later on. It's not going to be some – in this area they're used to managing, you know, the snow on the roads a little bit better. So we should be pretty good up here. But the main question I have is I've been hearing these reports of like Sandy-like wind gusts and potential damage. Is that what we're looking at right now down with you guys?
Yeah, down at the shore in particular, the winds, especially after about noon all the way up until about midnight tonight, are going to gust as high as 50 to 65 miles per hour right down by the coast.
And, wow.
You know, we are looking at probably moderate tidal flooding. I know the officials down there are telling everybody to move your cars if you're even thinking that you might be in an area that might flood. So it's not just the typical flooded roads, but some of those that, you know, flood every so often but not as often, those are also going to be impacted by this. And then inland, you know, you're looking at 50, 55 mile per hour gusts at times, and you know, you're looking at about a 12 hour period where I'm not saying it's going to be 55 miles per hour for straight 12 hours, but you have that chance of that kind of gust over a long period of time. And you know, so we're worried about you know, trees that are in the soaked soil and that maybe aren't real healthy, maybe falling. Some branches, although I will say it gets worse in the spring when you got leaves to pick up some of that wind, but you know, probably some branches coming down, and we're looking at possible wires down and power outages and stuff like that. It's also one of those days where as you're driving around, you're going to see like trash can lids and twigs and stuff on the streets. So there'll be debris to watch out for. Wind's not quite as bad up in the Poconos. I did double check this, though, and you are not in the wind warning area up in the Poconos. So once you get up there, it'll be windy, but it won't be, you know, 50 mile per hour gust.
Excellent.
Okay. All right. So we'll see how that shapes up. Listen, David, I know that you're a big Snapchat guy. You're on Snapchat all the time. And I don't know if you knew this or not. David doesn't even have a cell phone on.
No, do you?
I asked you one time for your cell phone number so I could text you. You're like, I don't text.
Yeah, well, that was a little while ago. But, yeah, I'm almost sorry to admit this. I have a 5S, and you know how, like, you have to update it, and then every time you update it, it gets worse and worse.
Oh, did you say a 5S or a fine ass?
No, a
5S.
Oh, okay.
We know.
Because we knew that. That's not news to us.
I don't think I could get away with that on TV. Anyway, so it's a sort of an older phone, and it's kind of coughing, and, you know, it's got an upset stomach right now. I think I'm updating.
Okay, all right.
Well, listen, Marissa is going to be taking over the 6ABC Snapchat today. Marissa's awesome on social media, so she's going to have fun with that, and you can follow Snapchat 6ABC for those who are interested. So are you doing that now, Marissa, as we speak? She's taking a little video right now, so that'll go on Snapchat.
I'm looking around the studio, and I'm not seeing it right now. So okay. I don't know where she is. Marissa!
No. She's here with us.
She's here, yeah. He's currently trying to text on a landline.
She's probably afraid to come in here because we've been, like, pulling our hairs out with, like, all of the high wind warning, the flood watch, the, you know, coastal flood watch, winter storm watch. It's been a lot. I'm taking a breath right now.
Take a break. We know you got work to do, but we appreciate you checking in this morning, Murph.
Hey, and good luck to all those great competitors up there. You know, cardboard, wet snow, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly. Yeah. All right, thank you, sir. David Murphy.
Yeah.
6ABC, and we appreciate that. So, you know, it's turned to the good for what we need to do.
Looks that way, Preston. I see the trucks out there and people getting prepped and ready. So
regardless, we're going.
Yeah, Marissa?
I'm pretty sure he thought I'm in the 6 ABC newsroom Snapchat from there.
Yes, he did think so.
That's
okay. You know what? Let's let him keep thinking. Marissa! I think she's hurt.
I didn't need to stop and explain it to him. I wasn't going to
But follow Snap 6 ABC, guys, and you'll see some behind-the-scenes things, and I'll go take it out on the sledding hill later on this morning.
Excellent. All right, you can kill the 6 ABC. Thank you.
It's fun, though. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. It is pretty.
It's from the opera.
You can't help but sing along when you hear that. Okay, so now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very special moment when we get to hear Kathy's Bon Jovi story.
Yes,
no,
please.
Stop it. No, we're not building it up like that. No
I mean,
way.
We've waited for over an hour now, and we got to find it. No, Casey came to me.
Just don't picture the story of a young fan and a glam rocker, Kathy Romano's Bon Jovi story.
Casey came
Jovi
to me.
And me.
He came to me in the commercial break. He said, all right, we got to hear this.
We
got to hear this Bon Jovi story. I got to hear if it was worth
Listen,
it.
Listen, how about this? I'll save it for next year when he's 57.
No, honestly, I slated this for this time.
All right.
No, it's not. It was a quick birthday story.
It's right. Okay. Let's hear it. And we're not going to do the whole segment.
No, because I know what happened. It's such a terrible story. I don't want to tell it.
Not all right.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Not telling it.
All right.
I know what happened.
I guess you didn't give up being a bishop.
What's that?
Jinx.
Yeah, what?
I said, I guess you didn't give up being a bitch for Lent.
Oh, really? Like well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because I'm looking at that cup sitting right there full of chew spit.
Yes.
Weren't you supposed to give that up?
I'm glad you said that because I'm looking over there at Nick Murphy who's wearing his glasses. You know.
Oh, so that's how this works.
I think this is how
the
it
best
works.
Way to win an argument is to deflect to somebody else.
Exactly.
What's the story?
What is the story?
So weren't you supposed? Wasn't that part of the secret Jesus?
We're not in the studio anymore.
Oh dear God! Okay.
Have you not been doing that in the studio?
I have not. No, I gave it up for Lent. We were supposed to do all that stuff.
So are you really just doing it because we're here?
Yeah, I left. I left my nicotine lozenges in the studio.
Okay.
is kind of what happened here.
All right.
Okay. All right. I was curious.
Yeah.
Well, you are a slave.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
It's a shame.
So Kathy is a holdout on her story, and we're slapping Jesus in the face.
I just wasn't sure.
I know. Like, what's happening?
I think dip is allowed Friday in the Poconos.
It's Friday.
It is.
I didn't even think about that.
So does that mean I can have chocolate, too?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. Hey, I saw this story. I thought this was pretty interesting. It was through Business Insider. They did a survey. Well, not a survey. They did an actual study on the most exciting cities and the most boring cities in every state in the union.
The most exciting and boring.
Yeah. So how they went about this, they
guessed.
No, they used data to, in their minds, definitively prove which are the more exciting and boring cities in every state across America. And to do that, they took counts of the number of establishments for 66 different types of businesses like breweries, art dealers, museums that can make a city more, quote, interesting. And they sourced data from the Census Bureau's 2015 County Business Patterns Program, and they picked the metro areas with the highest and lowest count of those types of businesses for interesting and boring cities. So, for example, New York City, the metro area, has 62 breweries, 762 art dealers, and 305 museums, both based on federal data, and that ended up being the most exciting city in New York, as you would imagine.
The largest... Yeah, cities are going to be the most happening.
That's what it says. It says usually that means the bigger cities tend to rank better as exciting cities, but that is a trend for most of the lists of this nature.
Can I guess the least exciting?
A pretty exciting one. What?
The city?
Yeah.
Squirrel Rape, Arkansas.
Well, in Arkansas, yes, that is.
There's only one thing to do there.
But it's per but it's per state. So I broke down our states.
All right, I'm interested.
I'll say that in a moment.
All right, well, I had a point that I wanted to make about a city that Steve, you and I have ripped on, and I think justifiably over the last few years, but I've heard has gotten a lot better recently, and that's Detroit, Michigan.
Yes.
I went there about 20 years ago. I found it incredibly boring and dilapidated and block after block.
Unless you were burning down a warehouse, there was not a lot to do.
But I've read recently that because it's really affordable, a lot of millennials and young and like Gen Xers are moving in and putting in bars and restaurants and reasons for going into that city. So I was wondering if Detroit would make
it. Detroit might have a second look in there, President.
You going per state or just in the country in general?
Per state.
Okay. So, I mean, what other cities would there be in Michigan that would be?
Well, Ann Arbor's really nice.
Okay. Exciting.
And there's Ann Arbor.
All right. So what I did is I went with Delaware, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I'll go with Delaware first, if you will. Wilmington, Delaware is the most exciting city in Delaware.
Really?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of shootings?
Or? And there's more stuff to do in Wilmington, Delaware.
When you get into like Wilmington proper, like where the buildings are and stuff like that, like it's not too bad. Yeah. I was there for one of the like Thursday night huddles this past December, and I was driving around. I was like, okay, well this is kind of.
Was that area called Riverwalk? Is that the...
And I wasn't even in that section of the city. I was, I guess, technically more west of that part of Wilmington.
That's nice. And it includes its population, though, with Pennsylvania... with Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Camden, which puts the population over 6 million. The most boring city in Delaware. Anybody want to guess?
Dover.
Is it Dover?
It's Dover, yeah. Population 173,000. And there's not a whole lot to do, but obviously the racetrack is there.
Is that all that's there?
Pretty much all that's there.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. That's the only place I've ever been there.
Can I take a guess for exciting in New Jersey by any chance?
That's the one that I found most interesting, so that's why I mainly brought this up. Mm. Yes. What do you think?
Is it Hoboken?
It's not Hoboken.
Okay.
Anybody else want to guess?
Is it a short town?
It is a short town.
AC?
No, it's Ocean City, New Jersey, believe it or not.
Without any alcohol.
Is that a dry town?
Still a dry town.
Okay.
But it is super densely populated, not necessarily during the off season, but during, you know, Memorial Day to Labor Day. It is dense.
People don't care that it's a dry town. It's almost like they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And the most boring city in New Jersey is Vineland. It says Vineland Bridgeton, New Jersey.
Mike Trout.
Are those two different places?
Mike Trout is, I thought it was Milton.
Are those two different places?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vineland, Bridgeton, New Jersey. So those are the most boring ones. And in Pennsylvania, the most exciting city. So you actually have a choice. I mean, you've got a few big cities in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You're going to assume that the most exciting is Philadelphia.
And it is.
Yes. Okay.
It is Philadelphia. The most boring city in Pennsylvania is Bloomsburg.
Oh, that's
Bloomsburg.
I'm surprised by that, actually, because there's a college there, and you would think a college town would at least have some excitement because of the university.
You know what, though? I remember at Westchester, we had a bunch of friends that went to Bloomsburg, and people would, you know, go back and forth on the weekends, and that's what everyone said. If you're not on the college town, on the college campus, there's nothing.
Is it near Lancaster?
It's actually not too far from here. You can get to Bloomsburg in about 45 minutes from Jack Frost. So it's you go west on I-80 and then a little bit south.
Okay.
Which I found, I'm glad that Philadelphia was number one, because Pittsburgh's been getting a lot of...
Pittsburgh's not bad.
I've never been.
It ain't no Philadelphia.
Yeah, I've never been there, but they have a lot of movies that are being filmed there.
They have a lot of movie theaters, and just opened up a candy store. They get a humdinger. Got a whole mess of taffy.
They get a little bit more profile, I think, in the past few.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Bane did, you know, blow up that. The football stadium there.
Was in Pittsburgh?
That was Pittsburgh, right?
That's where they filmed it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be, I think, Chicago, wasn't it?
I thought it was Gotham.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
I've been to Pittsburgh twice in the past year. It sucks.
Oh,
is it?
Okay.
Yeah, I went back because I wanted to go to the Andy Warhol Museum. It was the only thing I missed before I'd gone to the Winter Classic between the Flyers and the Penguins. And, like, right around there, it's cool. They have, like, an Xfinity Live, like, type area with lots of bars and restaurants around the stadium. But everything is, like, outside, and to compare it to Philadelphia, in, like, the Manayunk area. Like, there's the university, there's stuff, and there's some cool, like, concert venues, like, in the hills. But overall, like, just walking through the center of town where the ice arena is and everything, it kind of blows down there.
I mean, aside from Philadelphia and the Poconos and, you know, parts of Lancaster, I really haven't been to much of this state. Like, you know, I've never been to the center of the state. Is there anything going?
Centerville?
Yeah, Centerville.
Well, Lewisburg is where Bucknell University is. And if you go north central PA, like the Grand Canyon of PA is up there. The Route 6 is this really beautiful scenic drive that goes all the way across the entire state. So, yeah, I mean, I think that this state has a lot to offer.
Yep. So it's considered the most exciting city in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Do we get an award for that or not?
We should.
A plaque, at least?
Some kind of thing.
A ribbon?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But I thought that was. was interesting that Ocean City was number one in New Jersey.
I do
so
like
apparently
Ocean City.
Culturally, there's more there than you might think.
For those who seek out the cultural things. Yeah,
but
I guess.
Culturally, really? I mean, they have like two amusement parks and...
I find it to be too crowded in Ocean City. I mean, I think it's a great family beach town, but there's very little open space. Anything that was open, they put a house on.
That's all of the shore, though.
No, not Cape May.
Except for Cape May.
Yeah. All right, so anyhow, that's from Business Insider. You can go through the entire U.S. I didn't print off all the states, but I thought that was kind of interesting.
Is Guam represented in there?
You know what? I don't know if there are territories in there or not.
Why not?
Yeah, we'll have to see. Let's talk about nose picking for a moment here, if you don't mind. And the reason I ask is because Casey asked yesterday, what do you do with your when you pick your nose around your house? What do you do with the boogers? And the question that this study has asked is it bad to pick your nose?
That's a good question.
Oh, yeah, yes. That is a good question.
Is it actually an unhealthy... Now, we know it's a gross habit, but is it actually an unhealthy one? Dr. Brett Comer, a head and neck surgeon and assistant professor of
otolaryngology.
Wow.
Jology.
Really?
No. Why do you know this?
Because I had to go
bon
to
Bon Jovi taught it to her.
was that the story?
Otolaryngology.
I want to give you a word, not it's going to be our word. Otolaryngology.
That's what I was going to tell you guys. That's it. We're actually
I'll
dating.
Know you're near when I hear it.
We're dating now. Well, that's what I wanted to tell you.
It's picking your nose.
But I do want to know why you know that word.
Yeah.
Because I had to go to an office, and I remember when she answered, and when I got there, I talked to her about that word.
Okay.
Otolaryngology?
Gology.
Okay. Our word forever.
Otolaryngology. Anyhow, this doctor says probably the number one thing that we worry about is digital trauma.
Digital trauma. So you jam your nose, your finger so far in your nose. I guess there's a guy... All the way through high school, he'd be like two knuckles deep. I mean, I would have to ask him, are you picking your nose or scratching your brain?
It's a fancy name for bleeding related to nose picking.
Yeah,
I think peripherally around the rim, if you're looking to eliminate the proverbial bat in the cave, and sometimes, yes, you know, that's fine. But when you're rooting around and really digging in there, I have to imagine that's damaging.
Well, every now and again, I guess I'm your local nose picker here.
local? Yeah. Can you recommend a good local nose picker?
But you do. I mean,
I checked Yelp, and they're not listed.
The skin or whatever, the outer layer in there is really sensitive. And every now and again, like, I'll scratch and I'll go, ugh. And I know, I'm like, dude, all right, here comes the nosebleed, you know, because I got a little too naily.
Rambunctious.
Yeah, a little too rambunctious horny. In there. But I've never, like, punctured, you know, anything by going too deep in there.
Casey
yeah.
does go deep, though.
I do.
I see it pretty much every day.
And I apologize, and I know it's a nasty habit, but the problem is I feel stuff in there. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. Do you blow your nose regularly?
I do. I blow my nose, but I don't.
Do you Neomed every day?
I don't.
See, that would help a great deal. I know a lot of people, this is the version of the neti pot that Dr. Mike Sirigliano, our doctor, recommends.
Yeah.
And it helps irrigate your nose. You might not have that issue if you tried that.
Do you have a humidifier in your heating system in your house?
No.
Okay. It's a newer house, right?
It is, but I mean, I think I would know.
If I had one.
Because
I think that would help. That might help.
That humidifier will keep that Chris Martin signature intact on that.
Right, right. Is there a chance that I could ask that you do it a little bit earlier in the morning?
What?
Why?
Well, because I will be...
I need to understand why.
Well, because I will be...
He does it during yogurt time?
No, not during yogurt time.
Oh.
But I'll be on the air talking, I don't know, doing the bizarre file or whatever, and I will see it.
You'll get distracted.
I'll see it out of my peripheral vision.
And you'll know what's going on.
And the reason being is because Casey turns towards me while he does it.
Do you?
And so I get
I like
this,
to look him right in the eye.
And I'll see it happening, and I will try to ignore it, and then it goes on and on and on. And eventually I turn, and this is what I see. You guys never see it. This is what I see. I see like this, and then I go.
Wait, I so think
he's there, he quickly tucks his finger under his chin.
And you know, he'll quickly look away. He'll quickly pull his finger out and kind of look at me like,
that's a Farley-esque move.
Yeah. It is. And so I have just wonderful memories of me and my dad because
what
I
would nose picking something.
I would do the same thing. And when my dad would see me, I would do the same thing. And he would just crack up laughing. It was just so funny because
this could be out of there. Picking our noses.
So it's a memory.
Yeah. No.
Hey, chuck me a beer.
He wasn't the nose picker, but he just thought it was hilarious. He's like, I caught you again.
Ooh, get the fish scale. This one's
my God.
This one's a big one.
Digging for gold, he would call it.
That's a keeper.
Yeah.
That's a keeper. We're going to mount this one.
Mm-hmm. That's a parent saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But do you turn your head so Marissa doesn't see you?
No, I mean, at this point, I don't really even... I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care.
Okay.
And I do that with Preston as kind of as a joke, not because I'm actually ashamed of me picking my nose, but
okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
So besides the digital trauma, is it in fact okay and good to pick your nose?
Well, it says picking related infections are a bit of an issue. So since the undersides of your fingernails can harbor lots of bacteria, you can also get germs that make you sick on your hands and you then transfer it into your nose while picking. So really picking your nose is unlikely to really harm your health, but it is.
So you're saying ass to nose is a bad change.
It's still habit that you should try to kick because you can make yourself, there can be some infection.
Do That's, you guys
get yourself sick?
Obviously, when we talk about nose picking, you automatically look at me. But
yes,
is there a second person in our office that you would say is a
serial
nose picker?
No, me maybe. I don't know why.
Not like that.
No,
I'm a nose blower.
No, you guys don't notice Eric Simon? He picks his nose all the time.
I do not
all the time.
Oh you I'm guys, sorry, you. You outshadow him.
No, I know that. I'm the champion and undisputed.
Okay.
He's a contender, man.
Okay.
He's a total contender.
I'll keep an eye out.
Did your kids ever stick anything up their noses?
No, we've never had that. Thank goodness. But I had friends when I was a kid who would do that and shove stuff and get stuff stuck
well,
up
yeah.
in their nose.
We never had anything, but my niece and nephew. My nephew put a blueberry up there. Mm-hmm. They had to go to the doctor to get it taken out. And then my niece put a Lego.
There was just a thing in the news. I think the Daily Mail might have it, but a kid who had a Lego piece, and the parents thought it was so hilarious, and they're in the emergency room. It was like I've not seen this type of Lego piece, but it's almost cylindrical, and apparently it was in way far. So he had this like kind of robotic looking nostril.
You guys remember Trident gum, little individually tiny pieces of gum that were wrapped in foil. Well, my friend Brooke, she took the foil and wadded it up and shoved it up in there.
What is the psychological?
I don't know.
Has that ever been broken down as to what compels kids to want to insert? Because do the ears get the same attention?
No.
Why? And those are two others.
It's nose. You're right.
Why is it the nose? That's
my brother stuck a thumbtack up his nose, and it got stuck up there.
Oh, my goodness.
That
my older brother, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Did it end up getting bloody?
They didn't. I don't remember it.
They could never pin it on him.
It was just a story that I had always heard.
That joke was a little tacky, Steve.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now we're cooking.
That was the point. But they didn't take him to the doctor. They just, my dad had gingerly worked it down. But, I mean, he got
it. You little son of a bitch.
Wow.
Take him by his feet.
Yeah.
Because the impression is whatever you get is going to eventually make its way to your brain or your optical nerve or whatever.
A friend of mine in grade school would suck like string up through his nose and then cough it out and then be able to kind of like floss his throat and nose with the string.
I got to imagine all that stuff is bad for you.
People are texting in M&Ms are a big thing to shove up in.
M&Ms, Reese's Pieces, candies. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I don't understand this. Let me go to this anonymous caller on line one. Hello, anonymous caller. You're on the air.
Oh, man, I feel really embarrassed right now.
Go ahead. It's all right.
How you guys doing?
Good.
I got to say, I got really fat fingers, so my fingers don't fit in my nose.
Well, you're lucky then in a way.
Yeah, so not really. My wife hates this, but what
don't
I do
you
is I
love
got
it.
One of those. Well, she hates this.
She hates the nose part, but she loves the other part.
Yeah, exactly.
But Mr. Blaster.
I've never picked my nose, and it sounds weird I say that, but I got one of those 4X magnifying mirrors, you know, I'm saying, like real small handheld ones.
Yes.
And every night and every morning before I go to bed, I'll shine it up in my nose, and I'll take a Q-tip. and pick out whatever's in my nose, like do like a cleanse in my nose, and then I'll pull some ranch, you know, ranch stuff out of there.
I'm so I don't need to hear about that.
I thought you said you pulled some branches out of there.
I heard ranch.
I heard ranch as well. Ranch dressing.
Some ranch dressing. Sometimes some Roquefort. The blue cheese clogs it.
And she hate like she'll hate it that I do that. So she actually went out and bought me like one of those little mini trash cans, and it's a disgusting habit, but I have to do it because
I'll tell you what could be problematic for people who don't pick their nose. People who pull nose hairs, because if you do that, you can get that sort of ingrown thing in the inside of your nose.
I do it.
Do you?
Yeah.
You don't trim. You yank.
Well, I recently got a the nose hair trimmer.
Yeah. It's a sign that death is just
you. Oh, I know. And I asked for it for my 50th birthday.
I need a good nose hair trimmer. Where are your nose trimmers? And also, if you have a similar device for ear hair.
Yes, yeah. Actually. Well, it's terrible.
Do you have a good back shaver? You can I hate the look of hair coming out of someone's nose.
Yep.
They're like, so it's like some old dudes just don't care.
Well, Marissa sees nose hair all the time because she's so short. And I would imagine Jen Fredericks does too because she's here from Fox 1 Now. We're going to talk to her. She's really tiny too. And I bet she sees nose hair all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm trying. Yeah, she's nodding. Absolutely.
It's a blessing and a curse.
So you got to trim that nose hair. But yes, they recommend you don't yank it out.
Yeah, because you can.
Which hurts.
It causes like an ingrown or whatever it does, but I hate it.
Remember, you had that thing in your nose, Preston?
What?
A small migrant family.
Polyp seed thing?
Was that in my nose?
That was his belly button.
That was my belly button.
No.
Yeah.
No, he did.
No.
Yeah. Oh, but I had you look in my nose one time, right?
Yeah.
Because I had some kind of thing up in there.
Is there something there? I'm like, yep, there is.
Yeah.
It was like embedded in your
That may have been.
Wall of your nose.
That may have been.
She only did that for one other man.
From yanking hair. Bon Jovi.
Yeah. That's
right. It's going to be our thing.
Yeah. All right. Someday we're going to hear that story. All right. Anyhow, we do need to take a break. I want to try to stay on time as much as possible today because we want to get out on the hill and get this thing underway. We have a good amount of snow coming down as we speak. It's headed off sideways because the wind is pretty steady here at Jack Frost. But it's better than rain, which was our main concern. So we don't have to worry about that.
We're going to do it.
Yep.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And it'll be one for the record books.
I'm excited. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. I got some B-File stories I want to share with you and more. Rob Schneider's going to be on the program today as well. Mr. Skin, too, the Anatomy Awards. And since Jen Fredericks is here, we'll have to talk to her if we get a moment. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us here. Cardboard Classic on MMR.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30, Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy.
Well done!
Yes!
Back in the chair!
Sorry, I was over there. I had to, Jen Fredericks is here, and she's doing a live hit on Fox 29. So Steve and I both had to be over there on the mic, but thank you for opening the break for me, Casey.
Hey, and I have to say, Casey did a really good job.
Did he do a good
break?
Job?
Yes, all he right. did.
Oh, my gosh. And then Kathy told her Bon Jovi story.
I missed it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't it so funny?
I have to say, I was wrong. I thought it was going to be a dumb story, and it was really good.
Well, I just had to admit that I was wrong with Jen, because apparently last year, Jen and the gang, you know, come over here, Jen, if you don't mind. So we just did a TV hit. Now we can have Jen on the radio for a moment. But last year, she came out here with Fox 29, Jen Fredericks,
Yay!
By the way.
Hello.
And,
rock and roll right now.
Oh, is that your radio voice?
I thought it was Louis Armstrong.
It's almost Jazz Fest.
So last year, I had said their contraption would not make it down the hill.
She's held on to this for years.
She has.
Like a hater.
Long. Listen,
we're friends. We worked out together one time off time. We're actual friends.
Yes, we are.
I have you in my phone.
Yes.
I mean, that's real friendship.
But I have you on my phone as well, and I said, no way you're going to make it down last year as well. It just looked impossible.
I want to be honest. Last year, I thought It was the whole event was pedestrian. Yeah. I had never seen it on video because I like to see it, you know, in person.
Yeah.
When I showed up, I was, wait for the word, gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked. Yeah. Good. Wow.
Because
that's a good
I was like seeing a giant bar made yep. out of cardboard that was about to go down a tubing hill.
Yeah. Yes.
So I will admit that I too was underprepared. But still, I believed in the miracle.
Yeah.
And the miracle happened. And the miracle, if you recall, I went to the promotions closet at Fox 29.
Yeah.
There was like a giant headless horseman from a show that lasted 3 episodes. Yeah. And I wrote that song.
I watched that damn show, by the way. I like that show. It looked like it was impossible. But you did have sort of optimum conditions last year because it was cold.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And it was
Thank you, Mike Tirico.
So the truth of the matter is that this year, it's a little different. I mean, we're dealing with a little bit. Mind you, it could have been straight up rain, which would have been a disaster. It's not. It's snowing, and it's wet snow.
So here's what I did. I went to the garage this time where all the live trucks are, mm-hmm. and we have a massive pile of crap.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I saw like a slick item with an old logo, and Tom Beck, the camera guy, was like, "Oh hell no, you can't do that. That's made of like plastic."
Yeah.
And because I now know my rules, I knew it had to be cardboard, tape, glue,
string.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what I have is a old promotional poster, which people saw on Fox, which is going to be the sale.
Okay.
And then I have just a cardboard box.
Just a cardboard box. Good luck with that. All right. So whereas we might have just laughed you out of here because you had such a good success last year. Yeah, you might do it. It's possible. The sale thing, I don't know how that's going to work.
It might just fall off.
Because it's an old poster that has the OC on it.
Yeah. But 90210, for real.
90210.
My thing is, I'm going to say, you know, forgive me, but I didn't realize that I was coming to the Olympics of cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not even joking. I went home, told my neighbors, told my kids' teachers, told everyone that would listen that this is the real flipping deal.
Well, we told, you know, we had to have a come to Jesus chat early in the week because the weather was looking so foreboding. So Preston threw open the phones. Every single person, whether they were participating or just wanted to listen to it on air, said, no matter what the weather is, you have to do it. And we said, yeah, okay, done.
Yep.
And that's why we're here.
But I've taken a look at some of the contraptions out there. The pictures are coming in, and there's a lot of Eagles love this year.
Yes, a lot of Eagles.
Everyone is wearing Eagles. I have my Eagles yoga pants on.
Okay, I noticed.
Hey, guys. I noticed.
The Bird Bot has arrived, by the way.
I saw that, yeah.
You know, Bird Bot's here?
Yeah, well.
Because I was looking for that thing in Minnesota.
It's huge.
They made a sled. Somebody made a Bird Bot sled, and it's gigantic. It's like 15 feet tall. So.
Now, remember, we're only on TV till 10.
So okay.
I will test the run, if you will,
okay.
around 9:45.
You will alert us to that, and then we'll get the results immediately, I assume.
Your promotions dude is already hating. Clearly, he doesn't know what's going on here.
What do you mean?
Like, I'll see you out there with your flag.
with your sail.
All right.
I think you'd be fine, and we have medics on site.
Yep. Medics?
So, yep, yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. All right, thank you. Jen Frederick, Fox 29. Thank you, Jen. All right, let's do the bizarre file. Jason, if you would, please.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's Turkey Bacon. When you buy bacon, remember Godshall's packs this much flavor in a 94% fat-free and made at facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Well, just about everybody has taken a drunken late-night Uber ride that they might regret or might not even remember. Now, I had the story of the guy from Philadelphia who was in Brooklyn, you remember?
Yep. Yes.
And ended up getting a ride back to Philly. Well, here's something fairly similar. Only it's a bit more than just going up to Brooklyn. One New Jersey native recently took the blackout Uber ride of a lifetime after a night of partying with buddies in Morgantown, West Virginia last Friday. Kenny Bachman thought that he had called an Uber to take him back to where he was staying near West Virginia University's campus. Instead, he woke up in the passenger seat of a 2011 Toyota Sienna minivan next to an Uber driver that was taking him home. Not where he was staying with friends in West Virginia, but home, where he lived. In Gloucester County, more than 300 miles away.
So what was he in there for, like 5 hours?
He was in there for a long time. He said, I just woke up and I'm thinking, what the F am I doing in a car next to some random ass dude I don't even know? And the price ended up being $1,635.93.
Now, do you think the Uber driver goes, okay, this guy's out of it. I'm going to get a real money grab here. Are they like, okay.
Maybe. Afterwards, he said, I had it fully sink in.
once the ride ended and I saw how much it was when I was like, all right, this is insane. This is just crazy. It was a $3.94 base fare, $2.35 booking fee, $696 for distance, $115 for time, and things were more expensive because Bachman unintentionally ordered an Uber XL, which can hold up to 6 passengers and is exponentially more expensive than the Uber X. Still, it would have been $819 if not for surge pricing, which doubled every charge except the booking fee.
So when you put your, you order the Uber, he ordered automatically, and then the default address was his actual home address.
I don't know how the address mix-up happened.
All right.
He passed out in the van after 2 hours, woke up in the to the driver telling him that they were on their way to New Jersey. He said, couldn't he just get out of the car? You know, you'd think he'd just get out of the car after he realized what happened. He said, no, because what am I going to do? Just get dropped off on the side of the road? The Uber driver didn't have money for tolls, Bachman said, and he was fined at every toll booth. When they did get back to New Jersey, Bachman went to a CVS in Sewell and got cash back to give him money for tolls on the way back. Bachman got back to New Jersey safe and sound. He even gave his driver 5 stars. But he challenged the charge. He claims that he never put in the home address for Uber. Bachman said the driver had his phone, even having answered a FaceTime call from a friend when he was asleep. He said, obviously, I sent the Uber. I don't know where to. I know I wouldn't send it to my house. I knew where I was. He was on my phone without me allowing it.
So, well, in the original story you had from the guy who was Brooklyn, right?
Yep.
They waived the charge.
Yeah, they ended up doing that. He said that Uber confirmed the ride did indeed occur and that the driver took the rider to the destination he requested. Uber also connected with Bachman and resolved the matter, which ended with him agreeing to pay the fare.
Wow.
So, yeah, he ended up paying for it. Police have released images, this is horrible, of the remains of a woman who got stuck in the wall space of her home and wasn't identified for 3 years. Harris County Coroner's Office identified the remains of 61-year-old Mary Stewart Cerruti in January after carrying out extensive forensic tests on bones found in the property.
So she basically fell between the walls of the house, correct?
Yeah, I'll get to that.
Yeah.
She vanished in 2015 and her whereabouts remained a mystery until recently. Investigators believe that she got wedged in the wall space after falling through a loose board in her attic.
Oh my God.
In May 2017, the tenants who moved into her home after it had foreclosed found some bone fragments. But it wasn't until Wednesday that the majority of her entire skeleton was recovered, including her skull. Degraded clothing, sneakers, and a pair of glasses were also found. Pictures taken during the search show investigators holding the rat-infested skeleton being retrieved from the tiny space behind a bathroom wall where she came to rest.
So there she was. She died of starvation over the course of time, wedged between two walls. Oh, but God, don't you think there would have been an ungodly stink in that house?
But if she was the only tenant?
Yeah, she was there for a while.
Yeah, and if it was a single home, I don't know if it was a duplex or not.
Yeah, but I'm saying
it was a single home. Like the
new owner came in, though, and just happened to find the bones.
But at that point, the smell had dissipated.
Fortunately, the rats licked all the bones clean.
Well, I think that might have been what happened. Like, she decomposed.
Thank you, rats.
And they cleaned it all up. Before her tragic death, she lived a secluded life and hung tapestries on the window to maintain privacy. Her closest living relatives were cousins, making it hard to get a DNA match.
Oh, my God.
In the attic, there was a broken board that led down to the space. Law enforcement thinks that she may have been up in the attic and fell through the attic floor. It's a one-story home with an attic, so she was found on the first floor. There was some space between the walls where a person could fit. The cause of death is listed as undetermined because the remains were skeletonized. There's no evidence to say how exactly she died. Police found no signs of trauma or foul play in what bones remained.
And, of course, the rats aren't talking.
Although a great deal of evidence was victim to decay and animals. So
she dies. She's that much of a loner where no one says, over the course of 3 years, you know, we don't see her much.
Yeah.
In summer 2015, the elderly woman's neighbors became concerned after they noticed the mail piled up in front of the house.
that had a broken window. The paper also reported that six dead cats were inside. Cages were found in the attic, hints of how Cerruti had taken care of the stray cat. So they may have gone in and looked for her. They
couldn't find her. Yeah.
And then she just kind of rotted in the wall. That's messed up, man.
That's a horrible story.
All right, let's do another one that's not as horrible, and then we'll wrap it up. Don Abrego's online search for a pet took the exotic route 3 weeks ago. He said, "I needed a monkey. I needed to be different.
I need a monkey."
This is a break.
A little boy had a dream of owning a monkey.
He wanted a capuchin monkey and found one, supposedly in Hawaii. However, as soon as his first $400 payment cleared, he said the problems began. The shipper was requesting more money and claimed that it was for flight cancellations and vaccination costs.
The old bait monkey.
So Abrego shelled out more cash, about 20 Amazon gift cards, he said, ranging from $100 to $400 and $500. He texted the card information to the shipper. Abrego said even the drugstore employees voiced their concerns, but he kept going. He said, "They tried to warn me almost every single time I went to a Walgreens or a CVS and I bought a gift card. I would say 6 times out of 8, they were like, 'You're being scammed. Whatever you're doing, you're being scammed.'"
Now I'm penniless and monkeyless.
And now he says that he's out thousands of dollars. He said, I'd say between $4,500 and $5,000.
And the bananas he bought all rotted.
And there's still no sign of his new pet. Abrego did eventually receive a photo ID from the shipper, but aside from the 10-year-old expiration date, a quick Google search revealed that it's the same fake ID belonging to McLovin.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
McLovin is in a monkey scam?
From Superbad.
Oh, my God.
Abrego hopes that his story will be a cautionary tale for others.
Well, you know, the 6 times out of 8 that he was being told he was being scammed, that should have been a tip-off.
He said that he paid using Western Union, Amazon gift cards, and PayPal. He managed to get the original $400 back through PayPal.
I think that the takeaway is never pay for your monkey with gift cards.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning, my friends.
Hey, President, just want to give a quick shout-out and a hello and a good luck to listener Christian, who is getting heart surgery this morning. And I wanted to, you guys didn't know this, but I got a voicemail from a guy who heard that he was taking to go get heart surgery today, and this guy's like, "Hey man, I want to give him a ride."
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. So I received the voicemail actually via email. So I forwarded that to Christian. I don't know if he took him up on it, but
he said he's going to do it. He's going to pay with Rite Aid gift cards.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. No, but that, just out of the kindness of their heart, they called the radio station yesterday, and Christian's a good dude, so we're wishing him all the best.
And that guy's name, John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi. John Wick.
What a story.
All right, so let's take a break. We are at the mountain. We are Jack Frost, and we're getting ready for the Cardboard Classic less than 2 hours from now.
It's happening!
We'll start making our way out to the Tube Run and take a look at these amazing contraptions that people have put together, these creations they spend so much time on and so much craftsmanship, and then we'll see them either triumphantly make their way down the hill or crash and burn and disintegrate before our very eyes.
Jaco, Billy Joel, we'll all go down together.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a second. Cardboard Classic on 93.3 WMMR.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. A lot of sponsors help out for this event to take place. Jack Frost Mountain, obviously, we couldn't do it without those guys. Aviation Institute and Maintenance Course Photography, who's going to be doing some wonderful picture taking throughout the course of this event. And J.P. Mascaro and Sons, who help us, of course, with the cleanup of all this. And there is extensive cleanup that needs to be done after this event.
And the speed at which they do it.
And Victory Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Who we love it. And we're going to look for the best Victory sled at some point today, and they're entering a sled as well, I think, with PJ Wellahans, or at least they
might have more than one.
We were taking a look at the contraptions outside, taking a look at some of the pictures, and as you would imagine and as predicted, whole lot of Eagles love this year. I'm looking at a picture right now on the monitor, which, by the way, if you check our social media accounts, you'll see these pictures as well. There is a Lombardi trophy. Casey, how tall would you say that is?
You know what? Can we scroll down just a little bit just so I can see the ground?
And see if there's people standing there.
Yeah, because I see what a speak. Okay. Yeah,
that's about 12, 15 feet tall.
At least. Yeah, at least.
Is that up there on the screen? Oh, my God.
And it's obviously it's as shiny as you would expect it to be. I saw that. We saw the BirdBot sled.
That looks huge, too.
It looks awesome.
It took 12 people to carry it from the van out onto the to the area where they're getting things set up.
You bring up a good point, though, Nick, about that. We're going to be calling on everyone who is coming here to spectate to help with getting up the mountain and all the other stuff because... You know, there's some. You just point out the wind, Preston, alone is going to make it a little difficult.
Oh, yeah.
But regardless, it should be a blast.
As I look out the window, the snow is going straight, is just going sideways.
Well, when you see leaveless trees with the branches bending as,
yeah,
as the wind
you know
is going,
it's windy.
You know it's windy.
I saw a shaggin' wagon out there.
I love that.
That's a popular one. People
it
have
is.
Done that over the years. But there's one out there, Steve, never seen before.
Really?
It looks pretty awesome because people a lot of times will gravitate towards. Well-known vehicles. I mean, we've seen the Batmobile. We've seen the Deathmobile. We've seen...
The DeLorean.
Yeah, all that. Those are popular ones. Yeah. And the Flintstones mobile. One I've never seen before.
Yeah.
The Beverly Hillbillies truck.
No.
Oh, wait a second. Is that what I was looking at?
Granny up on the...
Oh,
on
no.
The rocking chair and the whole deal.
Love it.
And apparently, somebody come by and said that it's spot on.
Well...
So that's awesome, which...
I actually
clearly
thought it was
we
a
have
real...
to. We have to sing the Beverly Hillbillies theme song when it comes down, yeah.
I actually thought that was a real vehicle parked in the lot.
Right.
Yeah, when I looked at the picture.
Some of the paint jobs that they do are insanely meticulous, and they look real. It's just unbelievable, the ingenuity.
I'll tell you that we were talking to Jen Frederick, and she was saying that, and a number of people have said this, who have come up just in the past 2 hours, saying that as you get, as you come up on the tunnel, the weather's actually very good when you come through.
Yep.
That's when it starts to snow. You come up here, it's a little bit more, but it's certainly, the roads are certainly workable. Obviously, if you're bringing something up, you're probably here already, but otherwise, it's far better than we thought it was going to be.
Yep. I started off my night, I have to admit, with a golden monkey, as I see our bar back bringing in a whole bunch of beer right now.
Did you bring that white monkey?
No, I left that at home.
Oh, you did? Okay.
This is the one you bought from Hawaii, right?
Yeah. No, that's for this weekend.
Okay.
So we went down, we're staying at Split Rock, and we went down, they have a bar in the lobby, and a lot of our MMR sales staff was down there. Tim Graham in our sales department walks up and goes, guess what kind of victory beer they got here, man? Golden Monkey.
Tim is an enabler. That's what he is.
Tim is a hardcore enabler. Yeah.
So every
and
year,
he brought over a Golden Monkey to me.
Sales ends up getting, someone in sales ends up getting loud and drunk. Was there an example of that happening last night?
Well, we'll find out when they come in with the sunglasses on.
Yeah. Okay.
Last year was Steve Simons.
I feel sick.
Sick. It's been him.
Oh, he was.
I drank too much Golden Monkey.
Oh, he was in. He was in fine form.
Was he last night?
Copper. But I was only there.
I have a great Bon Jovi story. You want to hear?
I was only there for the very beginning of the evening. Okay. I went out to dinner. Marissa and I went out, and a couple of our interns, Christy and Kathleen, and we went and grabbed a bite to eat. They went on over to Shenanigans. By then, it was already like 9 o'clock. I'm like, you know what? I'd love to go have a beer, but I know myself. I'll stick around too long, and I'll feel like crap the next day. So I went back to the room and chilled.
I got into the room. I got here earlier than I thought I was going to get. I made a really good time. In fact, you and Kathy were all checking in at the same time.
Was Capra at the hotel bar
yes,
at that point?
Yes,
you could
he
hear
was.
Him.
I feel sick. So I got in there, and I just didn't feel quite right. I kind of planted myself on the bed, and I must have watched like 7 Forensic Files episode.
Oh, yeah?
Back to back. And I'm like, by like hour two, and go, he's an arsonist. He did it.
Oh, I watched a Reese Witherspoon movie where she was a heroin addict.
It oh, really?
Like, yeah, it was like a Hallmark or a Lifetime movie. One
no.
of those. It was when she was very young. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched the Sixers game.
Okay. And Kathy was sick
Dude,
last night.
Were you feeling sick?
She puked.
I got so sick last night. And I thought at first, I told Preston because he asked if I wanted to go with them. And I said, I think I have food poisoning.
I feel sick.
Something's going on. But then I realized later. So I have a bad reaction to a lot of antibiotics.
Oh, boy.
But there's a few that I can take that we've, you know, tested over the years. Yeah. Dr. Mike prescribed me an antibiotic. And so I took it yesterday. And sure enough, that's what it was.
Oh.
I'm
well, you seem
positive.
Fine now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because
It just took four hours sprawled on the floor.
Yeah.
By the way, heads up, because we were curious about getting around if you were going to have a few drinks and so forth. And if you are out here, there's a shuttle service that I didn't know was out here. And we were using it last night.
How was it?
It's called Something Something Turismo. I forgot.
Something Turismo.
And it was awesome. This guy, Jason, drove us wherever we wanted to go. Oh, here's the card. Yeah, it's called Lake Harmony Turismo LLC. And we were curious about getting around. They said they love it when we have this party out here.
Marissa needs that back.
Yeah. I'll give it back to her.
She definitely doesn't need it.
But they drive around all night long taking people
to... So it's tiramisu? What is it?
No. Turismo.
Okay.
I love tiramisu. But anyway, so we didn't have to worry about driving last night so we could have some victory beers. And
I'm surprised you didn't end up back in St. Louis.
Kick some I know, right? The way things have been going lately with ride services.
Take me home.
But it was a lot of fun, and a lot of people through our sales department come out here for this event, and they're like our national buyers and people out of New York come down. So there's a huge contingency of MMR crew out here.
I believe, and there was recently a reorganization within our company and the sales department. I think all of the salespeople are coming up today.
Oh.
That they're making it a company outing. And then there was another company outing.
The skeet shooting.
No. Another company is making today their outing.
Oh. Get out.
And I'm trying to remember what that was. Eric told me about it. But
There's so I'm not sure if it's the same company, but my brother works for a company in the city, and they like basically made it mandatory for their staff to come here
today.
Wow. To come. They're just watching this year. They want to build a sled next year, but
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, is it the brother with the receding hairline or no?
No, it's not that one.
Dude.
You know, he gets so mad at me when I say that.
Oh, really?
That brother.
Your brothers are incredibly good looking. They need to calm down.
That is a good idea, by the way. If you would consider participating in this event, is to come up one year and just witness it first.
Yeah, that's what I told them.
And then make your plans.
This year is different because obviously there are a couple of different things in play, and it looks like we're going to have a pretty robust turnout. But, you know, when the weather is absolutely perfect and there weren't these potential variables, you got to come see it. Like Jen Fredericks was saying before, she thought it was just this fly-by-night sort of event. Yeah. And here we are. She's blown away by it. What did she say? Gobsmacked was the word she used.
I'm going to go to, we get calls in from time to time, people on the way up here. So I've got Eddie on the line. Hey, Eddie, are you there?
Hey, am I on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, fantastic.
Fantastic. So Eddie, what kind of, are you trucking a sled up here, man?
We have a sled packed in the back of my Prius right now.
In the back of your Prius?
You know it, fuel efficiency.
Yes.
And I have my cousin from Boston. He drove all the way from Boston for this event. He's got a sled in his car.
So you're doing speed stuff, or you're doing those runs, or?
Well, we made our sleds last night. We drank some victory beer while making the sled.
That's perfect.
And we just slapped on some of like the labels onto it, so it's victory.
So you're doing a victory sled,
and you'll probably win.
We overslept, so we're like on our way still. If you guys could just hold the door,
we will. We'll hold the door for you. And you started last night. There are people that started this like 3 months ago.
And he's going to win. You know it.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Stay safe, Eddie. We'll see you in a bit.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Later on.
Oh, I tell you, one year we got to get into it. There's been talk about it periodically, about having like ESPN or so to come out and cover this. It's a big ass event.
I mean, we've sent them footage for years, you know?
Yeah.
It's their loss.
I don't know how these people make these things as far as the slides go. I just made a cardboard prop for a school event we have coming up next week, and it's nothing compared to what these guys do.
What was the prop?
It's the Titanic, but I mean, it's not the whole thing. It's just like the fake front of a ship.
Oh.
And so I made it, and while I'm making it, I'm like, how the hell do these people do this stuff?
Do you have pictures of it?
Real. Not on me, but I'll show it to you. Oh, it's not, trust me.
All right. Listen,
it's the fake boat front.
The last 2 years I've had to construct, simple machines for my kids' fifth grade projects.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're creating something out of nothing. You're like, okay, let me just go buy a whole bunch of wood and string and...
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There's your MRI.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this year was like a pulley system, you know, but for hours and hours. And it's just a little thing.
It really makes you appreciate the people who build Stonehenge and things of that nature.
Yep.
Well, anything. I'm not a handy person. I just can't do it.
I could barely cut eye holes into my dog mask that I got for the Eagles games. Because, like, it came with, like, tiny little beady eye holes, and I had to just, you know, make them a little bit bigger. I should show you the finished product, because it's ridiculous.
Do you like the thrill, though? Do you like problem solving?
I don't mind it.
Okay. So I love electronics. I love ringing up things and you know, that's my gadgets and stuff. I love to set up problems and solve them to a point.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's a difference between solving a problem and creating a problem and then solving it. Right. You know, mm-hmm. and that's essentially what they're doing. They're creating this giant puzzle and then they have to put it together. Like, I don't mind putting together furniture. It's...
Taking it apart and then putting it. Right, yeah.
Any of you guys going to ride down today?
Always do. Yeah. Always do. I'm going to try and find the safest one. Kathy won't.
It looks very safe. There's actually one that appears to be a replica
I didn't do it when it was like beautiful and sunny. I'm not going up in wet snow.
Kathy just slowly was shaking her head. No, that's not.
Nothing's going to change.
Bon Jovi wouldn't like it.
He doesn't want me to get injured.
We're gonna have to scout out the parking lot and see how things are coming along and what other contraptions and themes that we're looking at. Pierre should make it down here at some point. You know, he'll be joining us.
When I left the station yesterday, he was talking about coming up last night because
he was
a little worried about the weather this morning. So I don't know if he changed his mind or not. My guess is he came up this morning.
Did.
Okay, yeah.
I'm saying your guess is he did change his mind.
Yeah, he usually leaves things to the last minute. So, yep. But he was talking about coming up last night.
Pierre will make the run down the hill. Did he do it last year? I mean, it was a couple of years ago.
I don't think he did it last year. He has the ultimate face plant at the Cardboard Classic, but I don't know, maybe this year?
What about you?
I don't think so. No, because you guys always talk about how brutally cold it is at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
And I'm a pussy.
Oh?
Yeah.
Well, you jump on, you get up there for a little bit. And then
you just go up and
jump on and go.
Yeah. If Kathy carries me up, I'll do it.
All right.
Actually, getting up the hill is pretty tough because that last lip of the hill is really, really steep.
Yes.
And getting up that part, I like watching people struggle to get up that. Like Marissa, I remember one year was having a really hard time going.
That was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, though. If you do that, you end up missing stuff coming down. And I just love watching all these things.
Yeah.
Marissa?
I definitely learned to go the side where the sleds are going up and not the side where everybody's staring at you and it's very steep.
Right.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, as I said, I pulled in this morning and everything looked to be as optimum as it could be for this weather situation. And I don't have no reason to think it hasn't changed.
Yeah, I was just talking to Eric Simon. He said it's like a tailgate out there. Everybody has their tents, and they've been out there since 6 a.m., and they're ready.
Well, Brent Forst just got here. He's going to be spending...
Where is he?
There he is.
Yay! This is his first. He was talking about it on the air this morning.
Yes.
The Cardboard Classic.
Brent is going to be spinning the music while in our booth at the bottom of the hill, because we like to have a little bit of entertainment. How you doing, man?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing well.
It is good to see you.
You too. I hate snow.
Oh,
do you?
I hate snow.
Okay.
That's why this is my first Cardboard Classic, because it's like I don't purposely drive towards it. I usually am driving away from
it. So what was the situation like traffic-wise coming up?
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Came up the Northeast Extension, just wet once you got to the Lehigh Tunnel. Some wet flakes and stuff like that, but wet the whole way up.
And then up here, it's nothing but snow, right?
Yeah.
All right.
And
we'll
party out in the parking lot.
It's not slippery, right? The roads are not.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
I think it was
just too warm. Everything's melting.
And even as I was coming into the venue here, salt trucks out and salt in the roads and everything, so we're good.
Did you walk in and amongst the sleds yet?
I drove through the parking lot. Again, I've never been here before, so I have no idea where I'm going. So I'm like, I'll just go this way.
Right, yeah.
And the tents are set up out there. The tailgating has begun.
Okay.
And they're ready to go. But I think for the most part, especially because of the weather, everything's kind of under wraps.
Yep.
And you can't really see what everybody's packing.
Yeah. Right. People planned, from what I understand, the emails that I got and the calls and the texts that came through, is that people that were participating were prepared for bad weather and they were bringing tarps and they're keeping things covered up. And so we're probably going to be surprised by a lot.
God bless the resourcefulness of people, because I would not have the brain power to figure out how to prepare for this. But, you know, whatever they did to do it, great. And we're glad that it's off and running.
Looking forward to it. This is going to be great.
Brent's going to be spinning the tunes. It's going to be awesome. All right, so I want to take a break and come back in a second. Like I said, we're going to try to keep things somewhat on time and wrap up the program close to 10, which is technically where we should end it every day, but we never do. But we'll try to wrap that up and get out onto the hill and get the Cardboard Classic started as close to 10 as we can. We'll be back in just a second live from Jack Frost Mountain on MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Listen, we're headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 2nd for our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com for details to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I always thought that the bar was closed before the Cardboard Classic, but apparently...
We have some homyuncles.
Yes, yeah.
Some homyuncles. You guys want to make some noise, everybody who's in here this morning? Already, it started at 8:45 a.m.
Matt Cowper himself walked up and said, conditions are thick.
He's drinking a Bloody Mary right
now.
Dude,
he came dancing into the bar. You didn't see
that. I didn't see that. I did see his spacesuit.
His spacesuit?
He does say that his people come in peace.
Yes. Yep. No, that's right. He's here with a bunch of crew that helped make this thing happen. Yep.
A lot of people from New York here, too.
Yeah, I know. There are a lot of New Yorkers here. Absolutely. The official pouring of the liquor hasn't started yet. They're still getting it set up here in the E2000 Lounge. But I guarantee you, man, as soon as the bars open, this place, even though everybody will be out on the hill, it fills up immediately in here.
Quickly. And haven't they, isn't there a little extra partying room as well?
What do you mean?
Downstairs, yes, right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, yeah, and I think there's more partying room out there. I think there's going to be like a victory tent. And
ooh, all right.
Like that.
Hey, do they have a...
beverages.
Do they get a store in here that like sells winter gear? Because I am unprepared.
So there's a pet store here.
This is our 13th year doing this. Why are you... How can you be unprepared?
What do you need?
Well, I need snow pants. Because I thought, all right, I looked for my snow pants.
Like the main thing.
I know. Here's the deal. I don't know. I had zero energy yesterday. And I went to my closet that the snow pants are usually on the top shelf. They weren't there. And I'm like, I'll just grab, this, and then some rain pants, and then I'll be okay.
All right, so you
No. Don't feel bad for me. I will either have to... You know, freeze out there, or
what's your waist size? Maybe somebody has a
46.
All right, if somebody has a snow pants that would help Casey out, extra pair, perhaps.
Maybe
perhaps
48.
You urinated in them. Perhaps 48. anywhere in the 40s.
Yes,
even shy of 50.
Wait a minute, but you have rain pants.
I have rain pants.
All right, so
it's the same thing, right?
No, they're not going to be warm.
They're not going to be warm, but
stay dry.
Well, do you have a couple pairs? See, like I wore. Thermals underneath here, and then I wear jeans and I wear my snow pants. Do you have thermals on?
Not now, but I have some. Oh, dude, you want to see them?
You just got to layer up, dude.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see your.
Got to see this tattoo on my taint.
Yeah.
We are going to be a little protected because where we have the microphone set up, Rodney, everybody set up a tent that looks pretty damn good. So
okay.
It should be all right. All right.
All right.
All right. We'll see about that. We're about ready to send Nick out into the wilderness.
He just walked down.
Did he head down there? Okay.
Nick looked like he's getting suited to walk out into Siberia. But
you can see the snow blowing in waves. When you see those waves of snow, you know it's breezy out, man. But I got the word. I was talking to Eric Simon, our promotions department. He said that the atmosphere and the mood of everybody is awesome outside.
They say it's that kind of delirium that sets in before you die of exposure.
No, I don't think that was it at all.
This is wonderful! This is great!
People start taking their clothes off.
They say, oh, become Negan.
No, he said it's a tailgate, positive, ready to go.
Love it!
Mass atmosphere.
It's that never say die attitude that whatever.
Yeah, I love it, so it's all good. Hey, real quick, I wanted to get this shard out before the weekend. This is from Michael Durkin. I said, hey, I'd like to request a shout out for my coworkers. Terry and Michelle put up with a lot. They put up with a lot from me, especially.
I'm an a-hole. But at least I'm a funny, or he says arsehole. I'm a funny arsehole. The things that they have to put up with from people with much more power than I have is, and he wrote astounding. Did you mean astounding?
I would think astounding.
Or
yeah,
he wrote two separate words: astounding.
When you're sounding, you're diving deep into the water.
Yeah, that. Yet they're in. It says they're in every day doing what they have to do. So I would love if you could give them an extra special super shout out, and then say that they've been Durkened.
All right.
Okay. So if you'll do a shout out, that'd be great. By the way, do you know what sounding is in a fetish? You know what that is?
No, I'm not aware. Please, what is it?
You don't want to know.
Oh.
It's
Write it down.
I'll just say one word: urethra.
Oh, that's not good.
That's called sounding.
Wow.
Ugh.
And I thought I knew it all.
No. Hey, but do you know what docking is?
Docking?
Yes.
No.
What's docking? Is it like scissors?
I'm going to ask this person right here. Does somebody have to not be circumcised? Is that how that works for docking?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I call that couplet.
Okay.
Is that with two guys?
Yeah. Yeah. That's docking. That's
I never.
I heard it as like a valves coupling.
Yeah. It's okay. Well, all right.
Welcome there to we go.
Hey, you learn stuff.
Yeah. Hey, bring that up at school today.
You do learn stuff. In fact, let's learn some stuff together. I have some stories here that I came across. So, you know, bravery. Sometimes
it's a good thing.
It is a good thing. But there was a study that was done. A psychologist at Temple, believe it or not, Frank Farley, did a study on bravery, and he talks about why some people are actually more hardwired for bravery than others.
Like Frank S. Farley, or just the guy
named... That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is Frank S. Farley?
Do you know what the S stands for? It's a Sherman.
No, I did not know that.
Yes.
Do you know who he was?
He was like a lieutenant governor.
He invented docking.
Okay. He did not invent docking. He was like a lieutenant governor.
Listen, I have an idea for something. I want to get it trademarked first.
He was a state senator.
All right,
senator.
But bravery.
Anyway, bravery. This is Frank Farley, not Frank S. Farley of the, the rest stop.
Right.
But he said that why some people are more hardwired for bravery than others isn't completely understood, as there hasn't been a lot of intense scientific study about the topic. But he says that there are three types of heroes.
Okay.
Which I found interesting. Okay, so...
Just three. We don't need another hero.
No, we don't need another hero. The situational hero.
Okay.
Which is someone who risks their life for others in a moment of crisis but hasn't done anything like that in the past. So, boom. They just turn it on when it needs to turn.
Just switches.
Yes. Then there is 911 heroism.
Okay.
And that's when the person is a professional hero. Police officers, firefighters, EMT workers, military personnel.
I would think almost the one would be inclined to be the other. You know?
What's that?
Someone who is ready to roll at a moment's notice and just go.
Yeah. It's
probably the same person who ends up being a police officer or a firefighter.
Well, this is the type of person. The first one is somebody who's never done anything like
it. Okay.
They just happen to snap into...
Right.
They snap go into mode. Action out of just instinct.
Yes.
And then there's the lifelong hero, when heroism almost defines the person's life. Somebody who's always doing stuff like that. I don't know if I've ever...
Well, we... Encountered somebody like that? Or
I don't know.
I think we have. Yeah, they're just people in general. I think we've encountered over the years of doing this show who have just displayed lifelong heroism.
I know a guy who's made a career out of rescuing people from the mountains out in the West.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like that's part of it. It's now his job. And
yeah.
He goes out as part of the rescue effort. Yeah.
You said that it was Bon Jovi who suggested
Stop
he
it.
Get into
it.
But I mean, very heroic.
I thought about it because, out on mountains like this, you've got to have ski patrol. You
yes.
have people that it's their job to go into dangerous situations and get people out if they need to do that very thing.
I would like to think that if called upon at a moment's notice, I would buckle to the floor and cry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, pretty much.
What's the most heroic thing you think you've ever done?
I think being a loving father to my 9 children.
Yeah.
The most heroic thing I've ever done.
I mean, you save animals all
the
time.
I don't always. it's funny. I never think of myself in wonderful terms. Like
no, but if you be practical about it, like, so, okay, so the most heroic thing that I've ever done, and I know what it is. My son was choking on a piece of steak.
That's right.
Right.
And I gave him the Heimlich maneuver, and I popped it out, and Dr. Mike flat out told me, he goes, you saved his life. He would have died.
You did it for another person, though, the kid who was having the seizure at your house.
Yeah. I didn't know exactly what to do, but I at least did something.
You gave him the tracheotomy.
But no, I didn't. but that was, I would, I guess that would, and you know what, when people, here's, and I understand the, of being humble, but when someone, like, I remember a kid fell into the Delaware River, and it was like January, some ridiculous time of year, a guy jumped in the river and got the kid out. And then he goes with this, it wasn't a heroic thing. No, I'm sorry. By definition,
it's heroic.
It actually was heroic. And you were a hero. And I know you don't want to be called that, but let's be honest. It was a heroic thing to do. You put your own life in jeopardy to save someone else's
life. Well, if you bring it that context, I replaced the ink in the printer at home.
Okay.
It was, it was low. No colors and barely black and white.
Were you getting like the stripes on the page?
Stripes, unreadable.
Yeah.
Photographs didn't even display it all.
Hero.
And I went right in there. I replaced those cartridges.
But you know what, Preston, on what you were saying, I think, so as somebody who would do something like that, they're not going to stand there and watch the kid. So like to them, they think I had no choice. Doesn't make me a hero. I'm going to go in and help that kid, even though they are. And we look at them as if they are.
Yeah, they may think, well, what was I supposed to do?
Of course,
well, I did it.
The saying is, can you help? How can I not?
Yeah.
And right.
That you would like to think, you know, I forget, maybe it's forgetting the author who wrote it, but talked about the heroics involved during World War II and what people witnessed and how, you know, that is at that moment, that's when, you know, you can switch to that. And we all have,
or you can buckle,
and you can also go the other way. You can be the guy who's doing something. Uranus is another planet. Smaller planet. Anus got tired. No, you know, horrendous that just causes horrible things.
No, but like, so for the kid that fell into the Delaware River, like, yes, the guy jumped in. He's like, no, I that's what you're supposed to do. But somebody else could be in that same situation and go, you know what?
Where we,
I could die if I go in there, and then we have two dead people.
Yep.
You know what, though? I don't think I've ever done anything heroic, but as, like, a mother, if I see a kid and I don't see a parent around them, I don't walk away. Like, if I'm at the store or something, I stop and I stand there until I see the kid go find their parent or the parents find the kid or whatever it is.
You raise there are other tiers of heroics, and I think that's just as important as well. Someone who at least cares enough to plug themselves into a situation and not just walk away.
I had a similar situation, and luckily I was with my kids, so I wasn't that creepy guy driving down the road. But I saw this kid, and he probably was 4 years old max, and he was by himself, and I'm like,
what are you doing this weekend?
Oh, dude.
No.
I mean, it was the standard, and then it wasn't until I was driving away that I thought I could have been that. There was a black vehicle luring, and, you know,
well, and it's a shame, because if it was me, it would have been fine.
It would have been fine.
Yeah.
I think also over the course of time, you become, you're almost programmed away from it because of all the, that's why those Good Samaritan laws are so important, because people need to feel, and there are people who even don't even, you know, the real hero doesn't care about any of that, like sees a kid in the Delaware River and jumps in regardless of their own well-being.
Do you ever, you guys are both lifeguards, do you ever pull anybody out of the water?
Nope. No, the only time I ever did was at Dorney Park, and I was just there, and I was probably 14 years old.
Okay.
You know? I probably shouldn't have been a lifeguard. I remember the only emergency that I had when I was the assistant manager, too, by the way. When the manager, the only emergency I had with the manager not being there was a guy drank out of his soda can. This was at the pool. It had nothing to do with water. But drank out of his soda can and drank a bee, and he was allergic to bees.
Oh, there you go. All right. So what'd you do?
Well, so
tracheotomy?
You ran to the sales department to see if you had any cakes.
He had an EpiPen, and they were like, here, can you administer this? And I was like, I don't know what this is.
Wow.
He was fine. I called an ambulance.
Do they?
Well, you do. Still,
don't
you
call me a hero, but I called 911.
You in essence, were part of the life-saving procedure. Yeah.
Dude, that guy would have died if something serious was wrong.
I don't recall there ever being a, like in first aid training, something for allergic reactions, right?
I didn't know. I looked at the EpiPen. I was like, what is this?
Oh, you want an autograph?
Yeah.
Yeah, and for a lifeguard, you had to get certified in CPR every year, right? Your certification ran out every year, but first aid was 3 years, which I found to be kind of weird because first aid, there was way more to know than there was in CPR. With first aid, there's broken bones, there's cuts, there's electrocution, EpiPens, maybe.
I don't know.
But, yeah, so, I mean, like I said earlier, you got Ski Patrol out here, and they got to know all that stuff. One time I wiped out really bad when I was a kid skiing and actually tore a ligament in my knee.
Eesh.
And it was my last run of the day, and Ski Patrol had to come down. They had to put me on a gurney or, you know, whatever, a sled, and they had to bring me down the rest way.
They put you on a gurner.
A gurner.
Yeah. The guy contorts his face.
Made a funny face.
Oh, my God, why do we bring this?
But they had to bring me down on a sled. I had to go to the hospital.
Really?
I was on crutches for weeks and weeks. And
when you just marvel at the people who do that.
Yeah.
Who remain that calm and cool. You know, Casey, you jumped over when I passed out in the studio. I mean,
I did, but there wasn't really much to do aside from wait for you to wake up.
Yeah.
You know?
But I appreciated the digital rectal exam. It was great.
Well, Dr. Farley says that brave people tend to have a mix of qualities. Risk-seeking, generosity, and empathy.
Oh,
so
that's
they don't mind going after a little bit of risk. And also, braver people tend to grow up in families where moral teachings are valued.
All right.
So there you go. A look at heroics.
What makes a hero? I think.
Hey, we have a hero right now. He's braving the elements. He's outside. And from what I understand, we can go remotely for a live broadcast from Nick McElwain, who is out in and amongst the participants of the Cardboard Classic. Nick McElwain, on scene. Can you hear me?
I can. You guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear? Little delay, I believe.
Oh, this is going to be great.
Oh, my God. It's like,
wait, it's like speech jammer.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Hang on a second. You can't hear him?
I can't hear
all right. Well, hang on. We were talking to him. All right. So, Nick, tell us about what's going on out there, man.
Well, Preston, I apologize if there is a bit of a delay, but it really does look great out here. I was able to listen in to you guys, and really everybody out here right now is a hero because these guys are braving the elements. It's cold, it's windy, but I'm not, you know, all week we were really worried about what it was going to be like. We were obviously terrified of the rain. It's just snow, it's a little cold, and in the end, it's going to be great conditions for the Cardboard Classic. I'm here with David. David, come on over. David actually made his way all the way, I'm not kidding, all the way from, where did you come from, David?
Kansas City.
Oh!
Kansas City, Missouri.
Is that Kettlewood?
To be here for the Cardboard. It is David Kettlewood, Casey, yeah, and he came here from Kansas City to be a part of the Cardboard Classic. He made it a point to be here, and David, how long have you been wanting to come for the Cardboard Classic?
10, 11 years, something like that. I've been listening for 10, so 10, yeah, 10 years.
And David's worked for a few Major League Baseball teams over the years. Who worked for?
Arizona Diamondbacks, Milwaukee Brewers, and then won the World Series with the Royals.
And you've just been podcasting and listening to the show from afar for quite some time.
Yeah, 10 years. It'll be 11 in July.
Wow.
That's phenomenal. Well, thanks so much for coming out for the Cardboard Classic, and what have you seen so far that's impressed you?
There's a Beverly Hillbillies car, and he's got a little gun. He's all dressed up in character. So that was really awesome. There's a roller coaster where the things that go over your body come up from the top, and they actually go up and down to kind of pull it down over you, and each seat's got a name. Must be of the rider.
So for your first Cardboard Classic, needless to say, you're impressed by what you've seen thus far.
Yeah, most definitely. It's amazing what they can do with just some cardboard and tape.
Well, enjoy. Thanks so much for making the trip, and it's great to see you.
Thank you very much.
I'm also here with Austin, and Austin's one of the team captains in the quickest. What's so funny?
Hey, and I'm sorry. It sounds like a Battlestar Galactica high school reunion.
Yeah. It's not you.
There's R2-D2.
It's the signal that we're receiving from you. Sounds like you have an effect on your voice.
It's does.
Very strange. I don't know if you need to move closer to us or what the deal is, but it sounds pretty messed up.
Well, I've been told by the engineering staff that it's just the weather actually is impacting it.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
Let's hear this.
All right. Well, in the quickest turnaround ever for something mentioned on the President Steve Show, it was led. Austin has built a docking sled. It's two guys mounting one another. No, I'm just kidding.
Two docking guys out there. That's awesome. God bless them.
With foreskin draped on the other guy.
It better be cardboard. It can't be legitimate foreskin.
Right. Austin, this is your, fifth or sixth cardboard class? Yeah, fifth year. And tell us what you built this year.
So this year we are the dark side of the moon, so we have the solar eclipse. And in the middle, we are going to be mooning everybody as we go down the slopes.
These guys actually brought
they brought up fake plastic butts, and they're wearing them already. So they have them on their posteriors. They got hard asses. They're really nice, and so they're putting their sled together. But I'm standing out in the driveway area where these guys are unloading out of their U-Hauls, out of their trucks, out of their rental vehicles, getting the sleds assembled, and then dragging them down to the area where they're going to head up to the hill.
Well, you know, Nick, nudity actually has periodically figured into the cardboard classic. I mean, people actually getting down to thongs and things of that nature.
Yeah, we've never made full, which no, we would not encourage.
Never full frontal or docking.
No docking. But nonetheless, it does every now and then you see some bare butts.
Yes.
Yeah, Austin has built a sled for 5 years now, and I'm wondering, talking about this earlier, how much work have you put into these sleds over the years?
We're sorry, Nick. You're now in full Cylon mode. Yeah, it's...
All right, well, it's great out here.
We're going to have to wrap it up, Nick. It sounds too messed up, man. But thank you for going out and braving the elements.
Oh, crud.
It sounds like the morning show on Hyrenus.
Yeah, you're on Hyrenus. What, Casey? Oh, crud, what?
We're supposed to call Mr. Skin. That was supposed to be said in my head, and my mouth actually made those sounds.
All right. So when is what time is Mr. Skin now?
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to try to...
Well, he's kind of on a tour, so we got to do this now.
Let's do it.
Or never.
Also, they can't find Rob Schneider.
They can't find Rob Schneider.
No. Call him as soon as you can. Or is somebody back at the studio supposed to do that?
I can't. Somebody back at the studio has to do it. I need to make sure that they have the number.
If someone could call Mr. Skin, that'd be great, because we do want to talk about the Anatomy Awards, and if we don't get a chance to, then we'll have to do it at another time.
We have to find out who won Best Marty Feldman Nips.
Yes, which is a new category this year. If you've ever seen the actor Marty Feldman, his eyes go off in different directions.
You know, that was from a thyroid condition that he had.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
You know what? There's actually a movie premiere here next weekend, and remember the girl, she was in our studio, it was Best Lesbian Scene like maybe a year or two ago.
Yes.
So she's premiering a movie in Philadelphia next weekend.
You know her, don't you?
I do know her. Okay. Yes.
She was...
What's
your
name? Do you remember?
You know, college?
Her name is Erin. I don't know what she goes by. I went to college with her sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm looking at some more of the sleds as we're scanning these pictures, and I saw some interesting ones. One of them had a DBH on the side.
Dubong hits.
I'm wondering what that might be all about. I'm looking at a whale right now. I've seen a few Jason Kelsey themed sleds. Not him, but some Hungry Dogs and things like that. So we're going to see plenty of Eagles representation, and obviously a lot of victory beer sleds too. And we have specific prizes for those who may not know. The fastest sled, which are usually the really small toboggan type ones. And by the way, can we lose that signal? Thanks, Ben.
Yeah.
$500 from the Aviation Institute of Maintenance is going to the winner is going to get that. And then the best victory sled, they get beer for a year, 12 cases of beer from Victory Brewing Company. And best design, obviously, is the biggie. And we have three prizes for that, $250 for third place, $500 for second, $1,000 for first. But it's more about the bragging rights.
It is. And I believe our secret team of judges will be scattering soon.
Yes.
To survey the sleds on display.
Start to take a look at it. And it's up to them to determine who the winner is. And I think
we couldn't do it. It'd
some
be too
of
hard.
The judges, they'll like to combine not only the design, but also the run down the hill. And
yes.
How that factors in. I was just go by design alone,
right?
How it goes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes they're just not going to make the... But, you know, we always get surprised.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Does it look like they're getting Mr. Skin on?
It looks like it.
Okay, all right, good. So I'd like to talk to him now. We're not going to have as much time as we normally would.
Nah, it's all right.
So we'll have to...
We'll blame Rob Schneider.
Dive right into that. Yeah, Rob Schneider is going to be at the Sellersville Theater, but we don't know where he is. All right, said the line was busy, so we're not getting Mr. Skin on now. So can we take a break?
Yeah, let's just take a break, and perhaps we can get him during commercials and maybe come back with him.
We'll see about that. We'll see. Looking outside, the
snow is fast and furious. It's a very brisk wind. The snow is going sideways. It looks like it's going to improve the conditions of the snow a little bit as we get out there.
But you heard Nick saying out there, it's definitely manageable, and everyone's in a good frame of mind, ready to get this sucker going.
Yep. So with the Cardboard Classic, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment, and I got the Beat Foul coming up a little bit. Yes, a lot of these segments are moving in quicker than usual, earlier than usual, because we want to get this whole party started on time. So we'll take a break and come back in a second with the Cardboard Classic. Jack Frost on MMR.
MMR's 50th birthday concert series presents MMRBQ 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger, starring Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Just Added, Korn's Jonathan Davis, and station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing Ghost, Dorothy, Radke, and Jackson's Local Shots opener in the presence of Wolves. One day, eight bands. The best deal in rock, starting at just $35. On sale now, Ticketmaster.com. MMRBQ 2018. Join us.
So it's 9:18 a.m. and Case just walked in with French fries, mozzarella sticks.
It's lunchtime
and Doritos and Twix bar.
Oh my God!
Listen, dude, listen. I got French fries and mozzarella sticks, and I brought them to the thing. I had a $15 food voucher, and the lady's like, "All right, well, that's $9.50," and I was like, "Oh,
oh, you're with
all
your
right.
children."
Yeah.
Well, no, I was just gonna say this is what kids ask for, and you say, no, it is 9:18 in the morning. You cannot have Doritos, Twix,
but I'm not
mozzarella sticks,
like,
and French fries.
Later on.
You're buying it now
yeah.
for later.
This is my lunch.
This is my lunch.
So here is what happens now, right?
Yeah.
And this is fine. I can take it from you guys.
Okay.
But you have some people on social media that are effing a-holes.
That rip you, yeah.
And the problem is I can't speak my mind with those a-holes.
Right.
And I really want to reach through the computer screen
okay.
and punch these people in their friggin' faces.
Okay.
I can take it when you tell me I need a 50-inch waist. I can take, because I know you.
You just said it.
Yes.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can take that, or Breakfast of Champions, yeah, whatever you want to call it. I can take it. But there are people out
but
there.
But you're also playing it because
yeah.
you're sitting here
yeah.
and she's doing traffic. You're shotgunning French fries.
Not shotgunning. One at a time.
Okay.
One at a time. All right.
You shared two with me.
I did.
Yeah,
I
thank you.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring.
Uh-huh. And I was going to tell Kathy that they have chunky bars down there, but I'm not going to tell her anymore.
I can. It's Lent.
Oh. You're about to throw up.
Are you what joking? Is
you were
going
about
on?
To.
I gotta give him the Heimlich.
He's about to throw up French fries. Whatever he ate just became sentient.
All right, listen, guys.
your Bezoar is climbing up your throat.
Oh my God! I had my grapes and donuts for breakfast at like 6 o'clock. I'm ready for lunch. All right, guys.
Yeah, come on, please.
Just, yeah, cut me some slack.
Grapes and donuts. Right.
You realize that's not lunch. That's junk.
No, this is mid. This is brunch.
This is what I eat, Kathy. This is
Kathy,
what I eat.
All right.
Kathy, what are you having over there?
Well, I was going to offer Casey my clementine.
Oh.
Shove that up my butt.
Or I could give you a small
again.
Small mixed fruit from Wawa. No?
You have a clementine still on the stem.
I know. They're for some reason, at Whole Foods, this is how they are now.
On the stem.
That's
on
a little
the
pompous.
Stem.
I'd rather just eat potatoes, guys.
I agree, Steve.
What'd you say, Kate?
Look, it's still on the vine. It's from the earth, Mother Nature. Gaia, we call her.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm eating healthy.
Oh, by the way, your receipt is printed on biodegradable parchment.
I have a stupid question that pertains to produce, since we're here just
okay.
kind of talking about things. Which
is that real?
No. So you guys know what leeks are, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, they look like
when
giant...
someone's sort of float stories out there.
No, not that kind of leek. Leek is the vegetable. And they kind of look like green onions, but they're really a giant
sure,
version
yes.
of it. So the green part of that, every recipe you have, it says to cut off and discard. Why do they leave them on there
What's
in the first
point
place?
Of it?
Because they take up like a foot-long piece of real estate in your grocery bag.
And, may I take a guess
yeah,
at this?
Yeah.
They probably perceive it as a natural handle for the the leak itself.
Maybe it keeps it all together.
Right.
Otherwise, it would kind of be flimsy.
I can't figure it out.
Do you buy them by weight?
That is a good question, too.
That's probably the reason.
That's a scam right there.
That's big leak right there.
Yeah, this big leak.
The big leak industry.
Meet me in the parking garage. I have something to say.
It pisses me off. Okay.
The leak thing is a scandal.
Just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, Casey's eating potatoes, not French fries. He's having a vegetable.
One of the food groups, along with Twix.
Yes, and mozzarella.
I haven't eaten the Twix yet. I was going to offer it to you, Steve, but
I'm going to have to pass.
You can, and Preston, I was going to offer you those Doritos, but I'm never mind.
Okay.
I'm going to eat them myself.
All right. I got news for you. I got my own little coupon.
Yes,
we do have our vouchers.
Yes.
We will have to use.
Do they have clementines on sticks?
You know what I'd like to do is bring our friend Marissa. Where are you? Where are you? We were going to have a
raise
guest
your hand.
Where we're going to do that? Yes. Where's our guest from Victory Beer?
Yay.
Yes, one of our fine sponsors, Victory Beer. Does everybody like Victory here?
Yeah.
Of course they do. And this is Jamie, I believe. Jamie, you got to get real close to that microphone.
All right.
Even closer.
There you go.
Am I close enough?
You're close enough now.
That's it. How you doing, Jamie?
Good. So,
excellent. Yeah.
Want to start it off? I heard there's a victory tradition.
Oh, do it. Crack it. There it is.
There we go.
Pop the beer.
Y'all.
Absolutely. We have many Victory employees do that.
Yeah, I'm eating French fries at 9:20 in the morning, and somebody's drinking beer, and all of a sudden I'm a bad guy.
Yep. So
we have different lifestyles. Okay. All right.
Did you get down here yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. And you guys go out last night?
Yep.
Had a little party over at Shenanigans, right?
A little bit of a party.
How was that? Because a lot of people said they were coming down early to be a part of that.
It's a rough morning.
It was a rough morning. Okay.
Yeah. But I'm here. I'm alive.
Are you going to go down on any sleds today?
So Victory does have two sleds. We have the Respect the Monkey.
Yep.
Sour Monkey, Golden Monkey, six pack. And then Homegrown Hops Field.
Hey, what's the Sour Monkey? Because Press had the White Monkey. I didn't know what the Sour Monkey was.
Sour Monkey is the Golden Monkey that we sour. So 9.5%, one of our best sellers. Delicious.
Is it like a lambic or something like that? Or
little on the scale of sour, a little bit lower than that.
What's the most popular Victory beer? Is it Pils?
Golden Monkey.
Golden Monkey.
Wow.
Number one selling.
Now, Preston, that's your fave.
Listen, it's my favorite taste-wise. I don't go for very hoppy beers.
Yeah.
I like kind of the Belgians and stuff like that, or I like porters and stouts and things along those lines. But a lot of your craft beer drinkers are really into the IPAs and a real heavy, bitter-tasting, what's the word I'm looking for? Hoppy beers. And I personally, I just don't have that kind of palate. But Golden Monkey tastes so damn good.
You said the first time you had one, you woke up and you were docking with some guy.
Well, I've heard your monkey story.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah.
I know where you got drunk on Monkey. And the fact that you had Monkey and the Redstone Dolly.
Yeah.
That didn't help. I used to work there, I know exactly how you felt the next morning.
Should he be alive is the question.
No, but I've learned how to drink it now. That's the key. I've learned how to drink it. Like last night.
You pace yourself.
Marissa and I were headed out, and we went down to the bar, and Victory was there, and they were like, oh, yeah, we got to, do you want a Golden Monkey? And I'm like, yes. I start the night with that. You do not finish the night with Golden Monkey. That's what I've learned. If you finish the night with Golden Monkey, you're in trouble.
It takes a hard left after that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, most definitely.
And you're welcome. I made sure that was there because I knew you would start the night.
Very good.
There you go. Excellent.
I had my one last night because I went easy last night. But anyway, how many people are here from Victory? Is it a whole big crew?
Big crew. We're all going to be out there, sales, marketing, brewers.
Are you surprised? I mean, we knew we were going to be dealing with some variables here because of the foreboding forecast, but out in the parking lot, it looks like it's business as usual. Are you surprised at the energy out there?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's awesome.
I'm sorry. I bring the bad weather.
No, it's no problem.
It's my fault.
Jamie, have you come out here before for this event?
Yes, we were here last year, and I was here years ago.
Yeah. And have you ridden down on a sled yet?
I was so frightened last year that there's a picture of our sled. You can see everybody but me because I was crouched. I thought
the word is, and you guys know because you've done it, I guess you go over that hill at the top, and what doesn't look so bad from below suddenly becomes horrific.
Yeah,
and
you do immediately want to get low.
When
we start to go over that hill. I know what you mean.
Exactly, it's a great picture. I'm not in it.
Marissa's going to ride down with him.
Nice.
And what? And Jackson. Oh, Jackson's here. You're what the hell?
Steve,
get over here. Jamie, thank you very much. Have fun today. We're going to get Jackson over here. Ladies and gentlemen, afternoon jock from MMR. It's Jackson.
Yay!
Hey.
How are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I was getting a Bloody Mary.
Good man.
Not working today.
I know.
That's right.
That's great. So you're just out here for the party.
Yeah, exactly.
We see Jackson more on your days off now because you...
I take my days off to come see you guys.
Ah, we love that.
You had to take a vacation day to come see us?
What, I did, yeah.
Well, that was last time we showed
you for the parade.
The parade, yeah.
Yeah.
I care, Kathy.
Okay.
I know you don't think I do, but I care.
Are you going boarding today?
I might. It's a bit windy.
It is a bit windy.
I might. I'm going to ride down in a sled, and then I might pull out the board. I mean, it's in the back of my Jeep, so.
You know what? I was nervous, though, I mean, really all week about what the conditions were going to be like. And going out there, I was like, well, I don't know if anybody's going to actually come up and ski and snowboard today. Yeah. It's good conditions for that. Like, if you have goggles, the only thing was the snow kind of getting you in the face, getting in the eyes. But if you have goggles or glasses on, you'll be fine.
But Jackson makes Bear Grylls look like Richard Simmons.
That's right.
Yeah.
I do.
That outdoor kind of guy. Loves the outdoor sports.
You really only have to worry about, like you said, the blowing snow. And then when it gets really windy, when you get gust, if you're afraid of heights, the lift kind of...
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. That could be cool, though.
By the way, you have some badass goggles you have
there. Oh, thanks, man.
Those are awesome. Smith's. Look at those things. Yeah. Wow.
They're going to keep the snow out of my eyes.
What sled are you
I'm going down to one of Victory's sleds.
Okay.
I don't know. I just got a message from them that said, you're coming with us.
All right.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Fair enough.
So I haven't, it's been years since I've been up for this, but the last time we were up here, I rode with a bunch of guys that built a Local Shot sled.
Okay.
It was like a super fast toboggan with 8 people in it. And they wrote, throw snowballs here down the side of it.
Oh,
and then we all had shields.
Yeah, That's
nice.
That was one of the first few years.
I realized that might have been a mistake, so
Wow. All right, that's cool. Is Sarah coming out?
She's on her way.
Excellent.
She should be here any minute.
Nice. Yeah.
Would you like a mozzarella stick?
I'm good, thank you.
Are you sure?
I'll stick to the Bloody Marys,
Okay, very good. You got started. I love it. All right, so Jackson, have fun. And
thanks, man. We'll see you up there.
All right, cool, man.
Very nice.
Brent Porsche, Jackson.
It's like a family reunion.
Yeah.
What could have been a disaster? Maybe the absolute best cardboard classic ever.
Could be.
Jan Freds is about to go down the mountain. I don't know if we have the capability. Do we have a capability to go live with her?
I don't think so. I just wanted to let you know, she's going to get ready to go down, so she's going to take the first run, and I think she's going live on her stage.
Yeah, they're doing it. They've got to leave by like 10, so they're not going to be able to stick around for when the whole thing starts. So they're going to make a run. We normally don't do that, but we'll allow Jen because she's...
Yes, of course.
And Fox 29 is covering.
Imagine if we had to be that beholden to a schedule. Obviously, you have to get commercials in at certain times, but we just simply could not do it.
Hey, should we get impressions from Man About Town, Bill West?
Yes.
Oh, is he here?
He is right here.
See what he thinks. He's been outside to kind of survey the situation. How you doing, Bill?
I am great. I'm great. Driving up, I heard your advisory. Go through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Start seeing snow on the ground. And it was an easy drive up.
So no big issues?
Nope.
Road's very passable?
I was looking for cardboard debris on the side of the road driving up. I saw none.
Ah.
Another good sign.
The lead up and warning people about what we would be dealing with, they took the obvious necessary precautions. Preston's right. You know, people knew what to do.
Eye gear. I saw Jackson's got those goggles. And the minute I stepped out of my car, I said, I wish I would have brought my ski goggles.
Yeah,
so
I didn't
squinting
even,
like this all day.
I didn't even think about it.
With sunglasses?
I have sunglasses. They'll help at least.
All right.
I should have done that.
But the vibe in the parking lot, also exactly as you painted the picture, is like people are out there. I pulled up next to this one car, and they've got a 10x10 up.
Yeah.
And they're just laughing and having a great time. And, so it's just beautiful day, a wonderful event.
We made the right call. Clearly made the right call.
All right, excellent. Thank you. Bill Weston, Man About Town, is here as well, and
he didn't offer Bill a mozzarella stick.
Well, he was chewing gum.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Good thing we didn't cancel. We would have gotten torn apart.
Well, listen, the original plan was, it looked horrendous.
It looked like it was going to be a downpour.
And then we were like, okay, well, we desperately wanted to do it. We said we're going to come up regardless. But the question was, will we actually hold the Cardboard Classic itself.
This wind is going to be interesting. If you look behind you, there's a building next to us, and it looks like somebody is using a snowblower on the other side of how fiercely it's blowing
When you come up and you see them making snow for the hills, that's what it looks like outside right now.
Yeah.
Like a ton of machines blowing, but it's nature.
All right, you know what we need to do? We need to do the Bizarre File. So, Jason, back at the studio, if you would fire up the intro, please.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas. From Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas. Yeah, that's what I just said.
Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas?
Well, it says it's written here twice. Go to jfbb.com now and save up to 50% on lift tickets and go F yourself, San Diego. Because I'll read whatever you put in front of it. All right, here we go. A young woman was mauled to death Tuesday by a lion during a visit to a wildlife sanctuary
in South Africa. All right. Enough is enough.
Aren't you planning a trip there, Kathy?
Kill me.
This is a sanctuary run by Kevin Richardson, the so-called lion whisperer. The 22-year-old victim, who has not been identified, was visiting a camp when she was attacked close to her vehicle. According to a statement posted to Richardson's Instagram account, the lioness...
Stop attacking her!
...was... pursing an impala, pursuing, I think is what it's supposed to be, an impala at the Big Five Reserve, which is also home to leopard, rhino, elephant, and buffalo, when it encountered the woman and her friend. The victim died at the scene. Richardson's intimate relationship with lions and other wildlife has been documented in several books and documentaries, earning him fame across the world. He said, myself, an experienced colleague, took three lions walking in the reserve, as we do on a weekly basis as part of their exercise and stimulation regimen. We assess the landscape for other Big Five animals, and as per procedure, sent out a notification that we were walking in the reserve. When a lioness is charged off after an impala and must have run a mile and a half where she encountered the 22-year-old outside of the car.
All right, so it wasn't one of the lions he was whispering to.
No. He said, I'm devastated. My heart goes out to this young woman's family. The popular free-roaming reserve rotates lions through vast roaming enclosures, providing them with the ability to live out full lives in an open and natural environment.
That blows. That really brings down a vacation.
This is messed up. A Russian native was charged with poisoning a lookalike with a tranquilizer-laced cheesecake and then stealing her passport, cash, and other property after trying to make it look like a suicide attempt.
Run this by me again?
A woman poisoned someone who looked like her.
Who looked like her?
Yeah, the suspect, Victoria Nazarova, was arraigned on an attempt at murder, burglary, assault, and other charges. Now, in an interview earlier with CBS, Nazarova denied forcing the woman to eat the cheesecake.
Eat the cheesecake.
Nazarova visited the Forest Hills, Queens home of 35-year-old victim bearing a gift of a cheesecake. Both women have dark hair, the same skin complexion, and speak Russian. The woman ate the cheesecake, fell ill, and laid down before passing out. The woman's last memory is of seeing the defendant sitting beside her inside her home. The following day, a friend found the victim unconscious in her bed, dressed in lingerie with pills scattered around her body as if the woman had attempted to kill herself.
Wow.
The woman was treated at a hospital, and when she returned home, she realized that her passport, employment authorization card were missing, and a gold ring and cash were also missing. Agents with the Department of Homeland Security tested the cheesecake and confirmed that it was laced with the Russian tranquilizer phenazepam. The pills contain the same drug as well. She has been accused of drugging and killing a woman in her native country before fleeing to New York, and she denied those charges as well.
That is effed up.
She faces 25 years in prison, yeah.
And to use something as wonderful as a cheesecake as a weapon of death.
It's just not right.
It's wrong.
This is a messed up story, too, and it's out of Florida, as you would imagine. A woman fatally shot her and her fiancé's dog during an argument. Giselle Taylor was arrested last week and charged with animal cruelty. Now, police say Taylor got angry at her fiancé because he wouldn't crack her back for her.
So she shot the dog.
An arrest report said she grabbed a 9mm handgun from the garage and loaded it. Taylor told officers...
You won't crack my back? Okay, this is going
to
happen.
She intended to scare her fiancé, but when she didn't get the response she wanted, she pointed the gun at their 2-year-old boxer and pulled the trigger and killed it. Police said Taylor drove away from the house, but was arrested a short time later. She's free on $5,000 bail.
If you want to encourage massages, don't shoot your pets.
Don't shoot the dog.
Yeah.
And one last story? Yep. All right. A couple got a big surprise when they knocked down a wall while renovating their home Monday evening. They found an old bazooka round in the wall of the house.
Had it been detonated?
No, it was like a full
bazooka
round.
Shell. Wow. Yeah.
The homeowner said that it was in the wall in the back of the garage area. The couple
here's the bathroom, and over here's the bazooka shell.
The couple immediately called the fire department and bomb squad. They have lived there about a year and a half. Based on the condition of the ordinance, the bomb squad deemed it to be completely safe. They didn't say if it was a dud or not.
Yeah.
There were no injuries, and the bomb squad stored it in a bomb box.
A bomb box.
And they will destroy it.
So you had two stories today. Would you rather move into a house with a dead body in the walls or a bazooka shell?
I think I got to go with the dead body in the wall.
It's cool.
I don't think I want a bazooka shell in my house. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the B-file for you. So we are going to take a break. We are going to come back in a moment, and we'll get to the lesson question and the trash and music news. Yes, things are coming along a little quicker, a little earlier than normal, because we need to get out to the hill and get the Cardboard Classic underway. So we'll take a break, come back in a second, and do those very things. We're live at Jack Frost on MMR.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Greta Van Fleet. So sweet. So fine. Royal Blood. Theory of a Dead Man.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3. On 93.3. WMMR.
Cardboard Classic. We're here at Jack Frost Mountain. Nick was just telling me, I'm looking at, somebody's got one of the TV monitors on here, and I was looking at baseball down in Florida. Nick was telling me, 75 degrees in Clearwater, and we'll be there in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, broadcasting live from spring training.
Much different conditions.
We are doing polar opposites in the span of 2 weeks, because it is windy and cold and snowy, all the things that you want, except maybe not so much the wind. Let's go to our on the hill correspondent. Jen Fredericks of Fox 29, and Jen and crew were the first to go down in a sled. I saw them on a monitor here in the studio making their way up. And Jen, how did it go?
Pathetic.
It was pathetic.
Oh, no. Okay, first of all, I had my guys, you know, there's a Vince Lombardi trophy here.
Yes.
So those guys took me under their wing, and they put plastic tape on the bottom of my cardboard box so that it would go faster, right? Okay. Because it is a bit sticky up there. There's ice on the top. They put some salt on to kind of like get it to melt a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't even make it half the way down, and the whole thing fell apart. You need to know about the wind. Even at the top, my very, very well put together piece of garbage was like flying in my face.
Yeah.
So I am concerned about, as I say, the, you know, those tall ones like this trophy, your bird bot. You know, a lot of the things that are tall, the wind is no joke. And then what happens, which is really exciting and attractive for television, is there's snow. So I had like a slushy machine on my face.
I'm sure you looked adorable.
Adorable, maybe.
Yeah.
Slushy.
Slushy.
But I have to say, like, last year, you know this, I brought like just like basically a giant piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I was able to fly down, no problem, easy peasy. The wind, the changing conditions, it's going to be a witch with a bean.
Well, let me tell you something. Once you start to get a little creative and actually build something, quasi-build something, that's where everything fell apart.
Don't make me come in there.
Next year, come back with a piece of crap.
Yeah. On behalf of garbage pickers everywhere, I stood up and I tried.
And then you laid down and cried.
You didn't know. It takes some chutzpah. To get up there and do it, and she did it.
I love the footage of you, though, up there. You could barely see you through the driving snow. It looked like a scene from The Perfect Storm.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it's the wind that is going to be the problem, I think, today, especially with the taller items. And it's super fun. Thank you for letting us basically, you know, crash your party.
No, we love it.
Anytime. We'll make it an annual event, Jen, that you come out and crash our party, all right?
Okay, cool.
All right, we'll see you later. Jen Fredericks, Fox 29, first one to go down the hill. And so at least we got somebody out there to give us a legitimate look at how the conditions are. And it is brutally windy and snowy.
So I really sort of our pace car, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those tall ones, though. Like,
yeah.
If they have weight, if they have sufficient enough weight.
But I want them to be able to get up there and not take over.
It is what it is.
It is.
Everyone came to have a blast. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. This may be trouble because somebody brought me like a giant bottle of Golden Monkey, and it's cold.
Oh, boy.
It's ready for consumption.
Oh, you know what? That would be a great story if someone, like, later on today finds you in a snowdrift.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I may have to take that out on the
hill. My dad's not here this year to drink with you.
You're right. Oh, that cracks me up. Don't give him any booze.
just don't give it to him. And he kept coming over, and I had a flask, and I kept
tapping him.
Yeah. Hey, tap my arm, and I'd be like, here you go, Mr. Romano. All right, we need to do today's lesson question, and up for grabs this morning. I believe I have my prize sheet around here somewhere. Thank you, Casey. We have tickets to Femmes of Rock at the brand new Excite Center at Parks Casino, and that's going to be Sunday, March 18th. So Nick's going to ask the question. What do we have this morning, Nick?
All right, Preston. Forever and ever, Kathy Romano will share the word otorhinolaryngology with whom?
I like that. All right, 215-263-WMMR. Who would Kathy share as their word together? I'm not even going to try to say it because...
Otolaryngology.
Wow, what do you? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. While you're calling in, we will do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what do you have for us today, sir?
Well, police investigating a report that Tori Spelling was suffering a mental breakdown at her home yesterday. Husband Dean McDermott explained to officers that Spelling was of sound mind and had simply eaten too many ShamWows.
Oh, there you go.
What?
30-year-old Black China pushing the limits a bit by dating a freshly just turned 18-year-old rapper named YBN Almighty J. China says normally the age difference would mean they would have nothing to talk about, but luckily, they're both morons. Newly thinner Mama June Shannon recreating the famous Marilyn Monroe standing over the subway vent picture for a new photo shoot. Yeah. Pandemonium ensued after the first blast of air flew up Shannon's skirt, scaring bats out of her vagina.
Oh, dear God.
Jesus.
It happened. It's on film. And that's all you
try. All right. We'll go to the lesson question and see if we can get an answer to this. Kathy will forever share the word
otolaryngology
with who? 215-263-WMMR. I'll try this out. Let me go to Tom, see if we can get an answer. Hey, Tom, good morning. Tom, can you hear me, sir?
Come on, Tom.
All right, I can't hear Tom, but Tom says his answer is Bon Jovi, and that's right. That's what it says on my monitor right here. So, Tom, hang on the line. We'll get your information, and we are going to set you up with tickets to Femmes of Rock, starring Bella Electric Strings, and that's Sunday, March 18th, at the brand-new Excite Center at Parks Casino, performing the music of Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Pink Floyd, and much more. Tickets start at just $25 and are on sale now at parkscasino.com. Must be 21 or older to win. Let us now do the music news, please.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Your God.
That sounded extra loud, didn't
it? Yes, it did. All right, so we'll start with this. Actor Tony Cavallaro, who stars on the Nickelodeon TV series School of Rock, has been cast as Ozzy Osbourne in Netflix's upcoming Motley Crue biopic called The Dirt.
Are you familiar with this dude?
No. He plays the Jack Black role. Mr. Finn on the school teacher of the school teacher on the show School of Rock that they have on Nickelodeon, which I have not seen it, Steve. Ozzy played a critical role in the crew's early career, taking the band on tour as his opening act in 1984 and giving them their first major exposure to national audiences. Ozzy said a while back that what little he remembers of the 1984 tour with the crew, he said it was pretty wild. He said, the 1984 tour was the craziest tour I think I've ever done in my life. He said, I don't remember it. But I remember I used to wake up every morning or come around thinking, what the F went on last night? I mean, everybody keeps asking me, hey, Ozzy, did you really snort a line of ants?
Yeah.
And he said, you know what? The answer to that is, I don't know, but it's very possible. So this is the guy that's going to play Ozzy on that particular tour.
That's pretty wild.
In that show. So maybe they'll cover the snorting of the ants. There's a whole lot of Rob Zombie catalog coming your way. To begin with, his 2016 front-to-back concert performance of White Zombie's 1995 album Astro Creep 2000, Songs of Love, Destruction, and Other Synthetic Delusions of the Electric Head will be released.
He loves long titles, yep, doesn't he?
As a live album on March 30th via Interscope, Geffen, and A&M. The full title will add the word live in front of the word songs. Also due out the same day is an extensive series of vinyl releases of Rob Zombie's solo efforts, including Hellbilly Deluxe, American Made Music to Strip By, The Sinister Urge, Educated Horses, Zombie Live, and Spook Show International Live.
And then I just have one more story.
Just one more. That's okay. Yeah. We're trying to get out of here early.
And it's a short one. Seven Dust will release its 12th studio album, All I See Is War, on May 11th. The follow-up to 2015's Kill the Flaw was recorded at Studio Barbarossa in Gotha, Florida.
Gotha, Florida?
Never heard of it. And will be the group's first ever effort for Rise Records, the Oregon-based metal and hard rock label. Seven Dust will head out on a headlining tour this spring in support of the new LP kicking off April 20th in Tempe, Arizona. That's it.
That's fine.
That's all I got for you.
I mean, that's 5 minutes. What are we, 9:55 here?
Yeah, we're about on schedule where we want to be. We're going to be about 5 minutes over or so because we wanted to get done by 10 a.m. and get out there and get these people moving along in these brutal conditions today. Brutal in a different way than we had anticipated.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Looking forward to getting, because the level of craftsmanship on these things, we're just seeing pictures.
Yep.
I want to get out and see them in person. And there's a rumor that Pierre is actually on site.
This would be unprecedented.
Really? It would be unprecedented.
Yeah, that he's here on time. So we'll take a break. We'll come back in just a second. It's the Cardboard Classic. Jack Frost Mountain is where we are with our friends from Victory Brewing Company, JP Mascaro, all of these sponsors that have helped out, including Course Photography, Aviation Institute of Maintenance, and more. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. WMMR.
Yay, good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
The bar is open. That's a good thing.
Clearly.
People have filtered into the area. And so, yeah, it's after 10, so that's when we can do that very thing. And I see one very hairy individual with very shiny boots.
Yes.
Making his way. My God, Pierre Robert is on time and here, ladies and gentlemen.
Phenomenal. Thank you.
I rest my case.
Okay. You never even started your case.
Right.
Case.
I actually was on time last year, by the way.
That's beautiful.
You know, that's a good point. We heard
for this. So I've been on time occasionally for this exchange.
You made
here
it
at
early.
Jack Frost.
You were early, though, today. Were you not? They said, because we asked earlier, and you were over at the hotel checking in and everything.
I went up to the hotel, but they didn't have my name at the room. So, I was going to come up last night, and then by the time I got, then I went home and I had dinner about midnight, and then I did some laundry, and then by the time I left, it was 3 a.m., and then I made it as far as the Wawa to get my first coffee, then onto the freeway to get to the first off-ramp of the Turnpike has these 24-hour Starbucks, which is a godsend. So, but I only made it to the Allentown one. I got off and fell asleep in the lot there for a couple hours, went in and got a coffee, then got back on the road, went another 15 miles to the next one, got off and fell asleep.
You know, you'd make a great serial killer, the way you treat sleeping in parking lots and, you know, right? It's like a...
Yeah.
And then went in and I got more coffee, and then I got here, and then I got off the freeway, and I went up to the lodge, but my name wasn't there. Then I came down here, and here I am, and I made it with time to spare.
Yes. Well done, though.
That's my middle name.
Well
time
done, though.
Time to spare. T-O-S.
Did you
or
have
P-O-S.
To...
Sorry.
I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
May I?
Yes.
Did you have to drive down the left side, the wrong side
of
the
road? I did.
Okay. All right.
Because I was doing really well, and then... And then I was coming down the road, and there wasn't any traffic, and I crossed that main road, 940, and I was doing really well. And all of a sudden, I see, taillights. And I go, God, I hate to be the a-hole, but they're all going to hate me. But then I put the flashers on, and I just got in the and then a car is coming around the corner facing at me. And I waved and I go, hi, and they didn't like me. And then I got back in and cut in, and then I thought the turnoff was there, but it wasn't there. And then I had to get back in the fast, wrong lane again.
It had to be a shock to you because what you encountered this morning, because you've only had that happen for 13 years.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, it's the suddenness of what life can throw at you.
Right, yes.
And then I continued on and then cut in front of somebody else. So for all the people who hate me, don't hate me.
Okay.
All right. Other than that, we're ready to rock, baby. I mean, you couldn't ask for a more perfect day to have a cardboard classic race.
Well, we've got plenty of fresh snow. That's a good thing. It's
oh, my
windy.
Gosh.
And it's going to bitch slap you right in your face. Yeah.
No, no, no. There's no wind either, which is also nice. I saw a sign, a metal sign, blow over into some guy's car. I'm not kidding. Into some poor bastard's bumper. And I'm going, oh, dear. And then somebody said, that doesn't look so good. I go, don't you think that way? It's National Optimism Month.
All right.
I'm optimistic that we're going to have a hell of a game, nothing but a game, and a hell of a game.
I would agree with you on that.
Our boys in blue are set to take the stage and rock the hell out.
All right.
Let's rock the F out.
All right, let's get
as
our...
you get for staying up all night.
Where am I?
Let's get our letter of the
I'll take the fifth caller.
And then we'll find out what you have coming up. Jason, hit it, please.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
D, as in Dorothy.
All right, ooh. And... Oh, wow, we have to give away the prize now. I didn't even think of that.
Now.
Yeah. Caller 3. Number 3-215-263 WMMR. If you happen to know the word of the week prize, you will win the word of the week. Or if you know the word of the week, you'll win the word of the week prize. That's how it's supposed to go.
So we're a little skittish here.
So 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. So with that being said, what do we have in store for today's broadcast?
Well, we're going to have fun. We got a block of Led Zeppelin, a workforce block of Green Day. We're going to have a weekend that celebrates our 50th anniversary, taking out a yet another year and having a look at it musically throughout the weekend. And it's 1989.
Interesting.
And that'll be a fun year. A lot of cool things happen musically and on MMR's stage. And I used the letter D for Dorothy because that's going to be our archive track a little bit later on when Dorothy came by and sang on your show.
On our show. She was great.
Yeah. And I've replayed that track before. It's an amazing thing that she was able to hit that kind of sound at 8:39 in the morning.
And as the older they come in and they say, I don't know, my voice is going to be all that good. And she came in and she killed it.
Yeah. So we'll run that as our MM Archive feature, which we started last Friday. And so we're doing that every day up to our birthday, three times a day. So 1:30 with me. Then 5:30 with Jackson, who I believe is off today, and I saw him face down in the snow with a bottle of Jack next to him. But he said, I'll be over in a minute, just making room for more. And then it'll be on with Jackie Bam Bam tonight at 9:30 again.
All right.
We had this newsman named Bob White, and he was known to have a few drinks now and again. And we had a movie premiere at the late... great Sam Eric, the Boyd Theater, which the Philadelphia Historic Commission sadly granted permission to tear down. But we had a great movie premiere there and beautiful deco theater. And the doors opened out onto Sansom Street. And as hundreds of people are exiting the theater, there's Bob White in his green MMR satin jacket puking all over the street and wiping it off with his hand. And as the crowd horrified looked at him, he goes, just making room for more. That was our newsman.
Wow.
That's a great story, actually.
I love it.
Yeah. He lived in the building in the Wellington and would come down in his bathrobe and do the news and then go right back up again and go back to bed.
The good old days.
There's the days making room for more, you bastard.
All right. I need to get our winner. And, Pierre, you're going to need your headphones on because I don't know what the word is and you need to hear what
it is. Here, take my headphones.
Take Steve's headphones. I'm sure they're really loud. Just to
like very loud.
Steve, you will have no hearing.
Very, very loud.
Oh my.
Okay, let me go to caller number 3.
What was that?
That's the cuckoo.
Mark must be here in the room. Hey, Mark, are you there?
I am.
Where? Show me. Put your hands up.
Right by the bed.
Oh, he's outside.
Oh, he's outside. Okay. All right. Do me a favor. Hang on, guys. Mark, what is the word of the week, please?
Can I spell it?
Yeah.
W-I-E-K-D.
W-I-E-K-D.
Yeah, he got that fourth letter wrong.
That is incorrect, Mark. I'm sorry.
Come on.
I'm so sorry. I'll buy you a beer, though, later.
All right. We got to let him go. All right, so bye-bye to Mark. Hang on, I'm trying to...
I spelled the word wrong, someone told me afterwards. So that's not the word. Wrong is not the word, but I apparently spelled it wrong. But it's still, you cannot mistake what the word is.
Okay, but did he get the letters correct?
He did not,
correct?
No.
Okay. He did not, okay.
All right, let me...
I'm making this very clear.
What's happening?
Let me go to Frank, who's the next caller. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Frank, what is the word, please?
Weird.
Great day in the cuckoo.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Great day in the cuckoo.
Great day in the cuckoo.
That's cuckoo.
For you. And, Frank, since you got it right, we're going to give you a four-pack of pit tickets for the MM Barbecue 2018, Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. All right, my man?
Oh, I can't wait. That's awesome. Thank you.
You got it, buddy. You're going to be right down in the middle of it all. Hang on. We'll get your information. Don't forget, it's MMR's 50th birthday concert series. Alice in Chains, Ghost, Stone Temple Pilots, Jonathan Davis of Korn, the record company, Dorothy Radke, Jackson's Local Shots alumni in the presence of Wolves. Tickets start at just $35. Complete details at WMMR.com, by the way. All right. Let me take this moment to thank sponsors. Preston and Steve Show been brought to you today by Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Areas, where the JFB, where the JFPB, where the snow comes first, of course. Brought to you by God Scholl's Turkey Bacon, 94% fat-free and powered by 4,000 solar panels. And also by Sergeant Scrap. Attention, tradesmen, don't take crap for your scrap. Learn more at sergeant-scrap.com. That's SGT-scrap.com. All right, and with that, another quick couple of thank yous to our sponsors, Jack Frost Mountain, as I said, Victory Brewing Company, and they're going to be sending down the honorary first sleds.
Yes.
Today. Thank you to Aviation Institute Maintenance. They've offered up the fastest sled prize, $500, so thank you, Aviation Institute Maintenance. Of course, photography, handing all the great pictures that you'll see from this event. J.P. Mascaro and Sons for cleaning up all of the cardboard and recycling it. They're a huge part as well. So we're going to thank them throughout the course of the broadcast. We, the President and Steve Show, are going to now go get out on one of these cats, and they're going to take us over to the sledding hill, and we're going to get the Cardboard Classic started in just a moment. And, Pierre, you will be visiting us as well, correct?
I will be joining you in progress shortly.
Excellent. All right. So with that, I think we're finished.
Yeah. Excellent.
That is it.
Very excited.
We are done. Ray John, have a great day. We'll see you out on the hill for the Cardboard Classic.
Yeah! The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
This is from my loving husband. I love you, honey, but sometimes you really get on my mother. Nerves, man.
Next message. Privileged. Not everybody can stream Preston and Steve in the morning and say that they got their privileged t-shirt from Preston and Steve. Next message.
It snows a little bit and everybody forgets how the drive. It's basically raining. Put your headlights on and drive. It's not even sticking in the damn ground. What is wrong with you people?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.